brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
What's today?
Today's Thursday.
Today is Thursday.
And I love the Panama intro.
That's a good one.
I love it. It gets me excited.
I like it. It's pretty upbeat and exciting.
They say upbeat and exciting is the way to be.
I've heard that.
I don't know who they is, but that's what they say.
That is what they say.
It's true. Panama. Well, it's Thursday here at Team Awesome Morning Party. You got Mateo and DJ Boss Man Dan with you.
Yep.
Steve-O's still out of town, but he's in Disneyland, so he can't complain unless he gets the measles.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a little bit.
That's kind of horrifying.
That is kind of horrifying.
I don't want him to come back now.
Oh, man. We want him to come back.
Well, I want him to come back, but only if he's not going to bring measles with him.
Just not sick. We don't want his sickness to follow him back to here, because this place is like a little incubator of disease.
It is. And now's a terrible time for that.
Yes,
like, we were
is.
Talking about the flu yesterday.
Oh.
And I would definitely take the flu over measles.
Yeah, I would too. I had a measles shot, though, when I was a kid, so I'm good.
Yeah, but that was the last time I had a measles shot.
I think you only... Well, when? How often do you... You know what? Today we're going to find out.
We're going to find out. There's going to be all sorts of fun and informational stories on the show today.
Yeah, there are. Centers for Disease Control. We got a lot to talk about.
Centers?
That's what it, yeah, centers. There's more than one.
Centers.
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 Centers. No, we're talking about two different things. Two different things. Did you have a good night last
the
night?
The centers are full of the sinners.
No.
Yeah, I did have a good night.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was Jaden's birthday.
Nice.
And so, went home and kind of just like killed the afternoon.
Cool.
And then, we got him, he's like super into Disney cars right now.
Yeah.
So we got him cars sheets and a bed set and converted his crib into a toddler bed.
Whoa.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
And then we went to a restaurant mm-hmm. that is inexpensive that he would eat chicken nuggets at.
Yes.
It is branded by a ginger girl with pigtails.
Got it. I've heard of it.
And the manager gave us free Frosties.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because of the birthday celebration. Because
of the birthday celebration.
That's good. That's good. I like that.
Yeah, Jaden digs their sweet and sour sauce.
We used to go there all the time after church on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We used to go there from when I was a kid to when I was in youth group, and then I moved away.
You know what's funny is... all of that chain up in Idaho, like, no matter where in Idaho you went, it was disgusting.
Really?
It was awful. It was terrible. And so when I got here and my brother was like, let's go there, I was blown away because it was actually good.
Yeah. Yeah. See, the ones, here's what happened to me. We went as often as we did that I said, and then it was good. And then we went to college. Mm. And the college I went to, guy's dorm, and then down the hill... this place,
mm-hmm.
this restaurant. And so you can imagine what I was doing. And it was like a 24/7 one. It was open all the time.
And it's nice because like I took my 5-person family there and we ate and had dessert and it was like $14.
That's pretty good.
Because we just like destroy the dollar menu.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
That's how you gotta do it when you have a big family.
I'm a fan of the Junior Bacon Cheeseburger myself.
Yep.
That's how I used to get like two of those
yep.
all the time.
That's pretty much all I eat there.
Guys, we got a good show planned for today. Tons of great things to talk about. We're going to talk about breakup stories.
Yes.
We want some interaction today. It's Thursday. We think we got a Shroff coming in. We're not sure. And then, of course, later in the 9 o'clock hour, Theology Thursday, Phoenix and Jarrett will be here. And it looks like we have one question. It's another marijuana question, so that'll be fun. Everybody gets high on those marijuana questions.
Mm.
Literally, we'll find out.
Maybe.
Anyway, we'll be back at 6:30 with breaking news, birthdays, sans Doug. He's still out. That's okay.
Indeed.
Indeed. Team Awesome Morning Party.
Static.
There's a fight to be won.
That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Good morning.
On Static Radio.
Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Yeah! That was good.
That was good. It happens.
It happens all the time. You can count on Mateo and DJ Bossman Dan. Mix it up a little bit.
Team Awesome Morning Party, the poorly produced morning show.
We should be Team Awesome Morning Hangout.
We should be.
Because we're almost a party.
We need another person for a party.
Yeah,
if you, me, and Steve-O were doing it, we could call it a party.
That's true.
Right now, it's just kind of like a hangout session.
Yeah, see, when Doug's around, party. Yep. Right now, it's kind of like just two dudes just being buds. This is us, man. This is so us. Just hanging out.
Yeah.
Being like, where's Doug? Oh, it doesn't matter. We're cool.
Oh, Doug.
Let's become police officers and ride on bicycles. Like on 21 Jump Street.
And 22.
Yeah.
Although,
I found out my buddy Matt at the gym used to be a bicycle officer.
Really?
Yeah. And he said, the funny thing was, it was kind of like that sometimes. Like, if you had a partner, like, and you were good buds, it could be like that.
I imagine you would probably just become good buds.
Yeah.
Unless you absolutely hated each other. Because just when you spend that much time with one person all the time, you kind of have to.
I think we could do it.
Be buds.
Yeah, we could be buds. I mean, we're already buds. I think if we were on the bicycles, we could be buds, like police buds.
Do you have a bicycle?
No.
You should get a bicycle.
Can I have yours?
No.
We're not buds then.
But if you got a bicycle, we could cycle together.
I've got a Matthew from ABQ update.
Oh?
Because Dex from the Edge just texted me and he said, Matthew from Albuquerque called us and we hung up on him after a minute.
Oh, no. Did he?
He has to call us.
I think we've left the phones busy since Doug has been gone.
Yes, we have.
That's why he didn't call yesterday. I was thinking about that all afternoon. I was like, that's so weird. Matthew didn't call.
He probably did.
He probably did call and got the busy signal.
Oh, man. We'll have the phones unbusied later today. And maybe tomorrow morning? It depends. We'll find out. Anyway, it's time for breaking news. Let's get into it. Today is December 8th, 2015. The number of the day is 2400. That is weight in pounds of the Wheel of Fortune wheel.
Really?
2400. So if that thing ever, you know, had too much and got loose and got crazy, that thing would kill people.
Like, if it fell out of a truck in San Francisco going up a hill and landed on its side.
Yep.
Splat.
Just rolling over people. That would be neat to see.
That should be in a movie.
That should be in a movie. Like, maybe Pat Sajak takes these crazy steroids and goes nuts. And he gets mad at Vanna and the rest of the crew. And he picks the wheel up and turns it over and just pushes it. And it starts running over people.
And he just, like, goes up to people and shakes them. And he's like, Sajak! Sajak!
And they're going, Jack! Jack! And he's like, no! And he runs over them.
Do you get it though? Say,
yeah,
Jack, Pat.
Say Jack. Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
But then in response, the people are saying Jack. But he—that's not what he means.
Right.
He means his name. Like
he
the
wants
Hulk.
Them. Yes.
Yes. But and so he murders them, and they're like, "What does he want?
Shawarma.
Shawarma.
Don't show me those videos.
They're hilarious.
Daniel shows me these how it should have ended videos. Anyway, breaking news. Benedict Cumberbatch and his fiancée are expecting a child. Little baby in the world. Maybe Benedict Cumberbatch and his fiancée will come to Lamaze class with me and Dawn.
Are you guys doing Lamaze?
Something like that. Breathe in, breathe out. We got inspired from that song from The Afters. And Doug's Joker, whoever made that joke.
It was somebody on Facebook.
It was TJ, not Doug. TJ, I just gave Doug credit for your joke.
I thought Lamaze was really awkward when Julie and I did it.
Yeah? Was it worth it, though?
No.
No, it's supposed to bring you together.
Well, it was worth it because we did it at the hospital in town, and they gave us all sorts of loot.
Really?
Yeah, we got like four
diaper
bags.
You got like a swag bag from the hospital?
Yeah, and
free
formula and diapers and stuff.
Here's an experimental medicine. Good luck.
After we had Soraya, we had like 20 diaper bags.
Really?
Really.
Wow. My mom got me a Spider-Man gift bag. We could probably use that as a diaper bag. I like it. But it's real. Nah, probably not. It's probably better. I need to use that thing to go to the gym.
Yes.
That's a good idea. I need to think better. Think on my feet. The latest research indicates that children born during years of high sun activity are less healthy due to increased ultraviolet light. This is gingers, right? That's what that is.
That would mean all gingers were born at the same time.
Interesting. No, there's multiple years of high radiation.
Of ginger production?
Yeah. We'll ask Celeste when she gets here. University of Virginia has instituted a new rule for frat parties. Check this out. They must include at least 3 sober and lucid monitors. It's probably a good idea. But you know what's going to happen. They're going to call Chad Brad Brian. Do you know who Chad Brad Brian is?
Mm-hmm.
He is the villain from all the 80s Ski Lodge movies.
That's right.
And Chad Brad Brian, he's alma mater. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was in the frat. He was somebody's big brother or something. And they're going to call Chad Brad Brian and be like, dude, will you come be our, like, sober, lucid monitor? And he'll say, yeah, bro, yeah. And then he's going to show up.
And he's not going to be sober.
No, he's not going to be sober.
Not
and
Chad
he's
going
to try to get everybody else even more wasted.
That's right.
I don't know, University of Virginia. Don't call Chad Brad Brian.
They should probably, instead of just being like 3 as a flat rule, it should be like 3 for every 5 people.
Whoa.
Right? Because what if you have like a huge party happening? There's like 100 people there. There's no way 3 sober guys can keep things under control.
Man, everywhere I go, it's like a huge party. I get invited to all the cool parties. Like all of them, so I don't.
Yeah, but now that you're like 30 years old, it's not cool to go to college parties.
I'm 31, so it's cool. It's.
It's not scientists. You're just the creepy old guy.
Are reporting that they have discovered yet another Earth-like planet. This one being the most like Earth ever found. One key difference is that a year there is only 35 days, though.
And I'm guessing...
Speaking of old guys.
I'm guessing there's probably no water.
I don't know. We need it, though. We need the water to live.
One key difference is a year is 30 days. The other is there's no water and the atmosphere isn't breathable. But it's about the same size, guys.
We can do it. We just gotta terraform it.
I wrote a paper in high school about how to colonize Mars, and my method was to terraform it.
Can we do it?
And it won an award.
Really?
It actually did. It won an award.
Whoa.
It won a national award.
Whoa!
And it went on one of the Mars rovers.
Well, did the Mars rover do anything with it?
No.
Jerk robot! Ah!
Yeah, because like every time they send out these rovers and telescopes and stuff, they load it up with crap from Earth.
And then nobody does anything with it?
Well, there's nobody to do anything with it, as far as we know.
So they send it on the Mars rover, and then if we ever get there, they're going to dig your paper up and say, here's the key.
This is how we're doing it. This 9th grade essay.
But wouldn't that be funny if they did, but it was like 75 years posthumous your life.
Right.
And you didn't get credit for it, but then later, like, odd time
that
travel.
Actually would be really cool.
I'll use my time machine to find out if that happens.
That'd be really cool if, like, 100 years from now, I was credited with colonizing Mars.
Gosh, maybe it'll happen. We should pray for that.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be awesome. John Boehner is getting revenge against members of Congress who voted against him for Speaker of the House. He's removed them from powerful congressional committees. Don't mess with that guy.
Nope.
I've seen him on the news. He looks like he's mean. He looks like a mean guy.
I think he looks kind of nice.
No, Daniel. You're from Idaho.
I would like to have a root beer with him.
You and your root beer parties. You need to hang out with Chad Brad Brian. That's what you need to do.
No!
You lucid monitor!
I love sarsaparilla. Or as they say it here, sarsaparilla.
Or as they say in Mississippi, sarsaparilla. Give me that. Hey, give it. All right, a man is sorely disappointed that he didn't collect $500,000 from the New Mexico State Lottery.
Mm.
Officials say that there was a misprint due to a clogged ink dispenser. That is no fun.
That's a terrible excuse.
Yeah, nobody made that one up on the
fly. That guy feels so slighted.
See, that's what happens when New Mexico's doing the lottery. It's like, yeah, we'll just throw it out there. We need the money, right?
We need the money.
But then when somebody
we'll
actually
never let
wins.
Somebody win.
Right. When they win, they go, oh!
Clogged
ink printer.
Misprint.
There. So you can't. No, don't win. But try again.
Yeah, about that winning.
We don't let people win in New Mexico, we only let them suffer in the desert. Policy. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is being criticized for accepting free airfare and hanging out in the owner's box for Dallas Cowboys games.
dum dum dum.
Why are they criticizing him?
I don't know. He's from New Jersey. Who cares?
Well, I just don't see what the problem is.
Probably, like, bribery stuff.
But
free airfare.
Like, what's Dallas bribing him to do?
Come to the games, man. Come see the America's team. Maybe they're trying to move to New Jersey.
I don't get it.
That would make Dallas really happy. Not at all! Everybody would be upset. The Pope is raffling off the gifts he's received. That's cool.
Like his spiritual gifts?
No, I think he got Christmas presents.
He just wrote, like, love.
Kindness. For a simple raffle, you can have kindness.
Tongues.
Whoa.
He just, like, wrote those. In Latin. Wrote those on pieces of paper and put them in a jar, and they handed out the little red tickets.
Oh, Chad, Brad, Brian again. How many times is his name in this bowl? He's screaming it all in like Italian, Latin, whatever. That'd be funny. The new study says that binge drinkers are most likely to be middle-aged white guys. We'll probably talk about this a little bit more.
Yeah.
In detail, because we both have stories.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of us is middle-aged, so these stories are about other people.
We should call Steve-O.
Steve-O, you're middle-aged and sad. How's your drinking problem? No! He's in Disneyland! The ex-wife of a billionaire oil man has rejected a check for $975 million to settle their divorce. Because she's not crazy!
Does it say why she rejected this check?
Nope.
Can I accept the check?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Happily.
Send it to me. I'll even give some of it to that guy that didn't win the lottery.
That's Matt Lott, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast.
Yes. Care of Matt Lott and Daniel Davidson.
Yes.
We'll split it.
I'm down with
it. If anybody wants to send large amounts of money to hear me and Daniel split it.
Yes.
It's going to work.
Yeah, I hope so. Work.
Hey, you got to ask, man, if you want to receive.
Ask and ye shall receive.
I don't think that's what he meant, but we'll try it. Once again, we're going to talk about this a little later, too. Once again, the Dash Diet took out top honors in the annual U.S. News and World Report rankings of diets. Dash, which stands for Dietary Approaches to Stop Hypertension, and which was formulated by the National Institutes of Health, rather, has won top spot every year since 2011. Developed to lower blood pressure without medication, the diet's emphasis on grains, low fat, and a provision for sugar is at odds with the popular but controversial paleo diet, which was ranked last. The Dukan diet, maybe, was also ranked. I know a few people that do paleo.
I do too. My brother Peter does it.
Yes. And a few people at the gym do. And you asked me if I do. We do like a variation of it, but it's because Don has like a dairy allergy.
Right.
And you cut dairy out a lot or something. I don't know. I've never specifically done like a diet. I had a buddy that did the Atkins diet back in high school, and he lost a ton of weight, and then it all came right back.
I had a buddy up in Idaho who's actually my pastor, did the Atkins diet for a while, and he would do it on and off. So he'd do it for a run, and then he'd like fast, and then he'd do it, and then he'd fast and whatnot. That dude was ripped.
Really?
Yeah.
Huge. Atkins. But that would also it would like dangerous level.
He also worked out a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if I don't know. We'll talk about that more later because we have some diet facts.
Woo-hoo.
Diet facts. What would you do to save your restaurant? What would you do?
Insurance fraud.
Insurance fraud. Raise money through Kickstarter? Maybe less illegal.
That's probably better.
Yeah, you won't go to prison as much. Get attention of the local news outlets.
That's a decent one.
Well, Nguyen Tran, the eccentric and enthusiastic head chef of Starry Kitchen, will go even further. Starry Kitchen is the underground Malaysian comfort food restaurant, quote-unquote, in Los Angeles that started out of Tran's apartment. The restaurant is in trouble, however, and Tran is looking for your help. If you donate $10,000 to the cause via their newly announced Kickstarter, Tran has promised to get a tattoo of you riding a unicorn on his body.
Does he want you to transfer him money?
Starry Kitchen started in Tran's apartment as a way to showcase his wife's cooking skills. Technically, the restaurant was illegal in the eyes of the health department and was shut down. And after finally becoming a brick-and-mortar spot in 2010 and having to move the restaurant three times, Tran and his team are asking for $500,000 to help save his restaurant and stay in LA's Chinatown. So if you're interested, he'll get a tattoo of you riding a unicorn. Pretty cool, if you ask me. He will give you space.
On his flesh.
Yes. Like you will have a space. Commercial property. A mom crashed her car while taking a cell phone video of her children in the back seat, and the video is going viral.
Oh.
The video shows a couple of kids in the back seat of a car singing and dancing, but after about a minute, the car that they are riding in crashes. No one was injured. The video is circulating in hopes of people realizing how dangerous it is to use your cell phone to film things while you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
Video of the mom recording her kids and crashing her car was published on YouTube nearly a year ago, but it's just now taking off, so you can find that on YouTube.
Hmm.
If you look for it.
Just a really, really dumb idea.
Yeah, my sister does it all the time. Kimberly.
She should not.
If you're listening, stop.
Please.
Stop it. Not videos, though. It's like pictures. But that's the same thing.
Every once in a while, I'll, like, snap a picture off my steering wheel. Mm-hmm. You know, like, both hands on the top, phone on top,
yes.
Clicky.
I did that one night in a storm.
Yeah.
Because lightning was happening. And
it's like, well, I'm looking at the road. My hands are on the wheel.
Yeah, I had both hands on the wheel. Jerks! Don't do it. That's what everybody needed to hear this morning.
Mm-hmm.
A small bowl of whole grain oatmeal or cereal each day could be the key to a long and healthy life. Scientists at Harvard University found that whole grains are so healthy that a person's risk of an early death drops with every serving added to a daily diet. The researchers estimate that every 1 ounce serving of whole grains reduces a person's overall risk of an early death by 5%. And their risk of death from heart disease by 9%. However, the study noted eating whole grains did not appear to affect a person's risk of death from cancer, which we found out the other day is
so
based on bad luck.
So if each bowl drops your risk and a 1 ounce serving drops it by 5%,
yeah,
then you should very easily be able to extend your life into infinity.
Nice.
Right?
Well, I've already decided I'm just going to not die.
Because you can tackle that 100% in like a month.
Yeah.
And then you start going backwards.
Ah.
Right?
Math. Simple math.
It's simple math.
Just equation. Algebra. Geometry. It's really easy for me.
Trigonometry. Calculus.
Calculators. Easy.
Yeah.
Easy peasy, man. That's... I got this.
By the way.
Yes.
One of the things I did yesterday.
Calculus.
Soraya brought home this assignment for math, and it's like divide these shapes into three rectangles connecting the dots.
I wouldn't trust it.
There's one of them that is not possible.
Really?
Julie and I spent forever on it. John came home. He spent forever on it. I tried finding the answer online. I tried finding any advice online. It's not possible.
People are messing with y'all.
It is not possible.
That's what's happening. People are messing with y'all. Guys, they opened a time capsule from 1795, and they have all the contents of it. It's pretty cool. And finally, our last story, because we got to get to some birthdays, even though Doug's not here, and that makes me sad. A man in China has finally woken up after spending nearly 1 year in a coma, thanks to a little cash. Hospital staff watched in amazement as the man began to grasp at a bill that a nurse waved in front of him. Its value in American dollars was $16. United States dollars. The man's mother shed tears of joy after his revival and carried on their first conversations together in about a year. The man had lost consciousness after a marathon gaming session at an internet cafe in August 2013.
They do those, and that is not healthy.
He suffered a brain hemorrhage that left him in a vegetative state. Wow!
Yeah. So, there's a habit of World of Warcraft in my family.
Ugh.
And when the last expansion came out, Mists of Pandaria, my little brother and his guild tried to do a server first. So that's where you'd like level up to the max level first on the server. And he played for 48 hours straight.
That's ridiculous.
I know. I was like, you're going to die. You're not that healthy in the first place.
It was like that. Okay. We reference South Park a lot, but there's an episode about World of Warcraft.
I've seen that.
Pretty funny. Pretty funny.
I think that is exactly what was happening.
Exactly. All right, let's take a look at traffic, and then we'll do some birthdays.
Traffic.
Ayo! No accidents or stalled vehicles or lights blinking red or police activity to report right now, but there's road construction. Left lane is closed at Lomas Boulevard West and Broadway. We have long-term road construction, San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast, and we have major road construction, Unser Boulevard at Black Arroyo Boulevard. That's your look at traffic right now, because even though Doug's not here, we're going to do some birthdays. We think we are, anyway. Yeah, we are. So you want to do kind of how we did yesterday?
Yeah, but let's flip it.
Okay.
Because I already read the birthdays, and I didn't know any of them.
Oh, Mr. Guy over there, huh?
Mr. Guy!
Mr. F! It's from Arrested Development.
Today is...
what?
December 8th!
2015.
It's not.
It's not?
It's January.
January 8th.
2015.
Ah! Whoa.
There are 357 days remaining in the year.
Pretty crazy. It's already going.
It's barely getting started.
We've lost so much already.
Okay. This man hosted the Newlywed Game.
Oh, what was his name?
We have a street with his last name here in Albuquerque.
Jonathan Wyoming.
No, it is on the east side, though.
New York Constitution.
Nope.
I give up.
Bob Eubanks.
Bob Eubanks. Oh, yeah, Eubanks. Okay, Eubanks. Yeah, okay, Bob Eubanks. He... Newlywed Game, so that was like... I say he's 84.
77.
Ah.
This gentleman types with his eyes to communicate. He sits in a chair.
Stephen Hawking?
Yes.
Yeah!
Brilliant physicist Stephen Hawking. How old is he?
Okay.
This one actually surprised me.
Okay. 48.
He is
73. Whoa!
Right?
I had no idea.
I did not realize he was that age.
Yeah, that's a long way to go.
This man is a guitarist. Plays in a little band called The Doors.
Tim Skipper.
Nope. Isn't Tim a singer?
He plays guitar. I don't know any of the members of The Doors.
Robbie Krieger.
Wait, Jim Morrison was in The Doors.
Was he?
Yes. He done it. Okay, Robbie Krieger. 76.
69.
Okay.
I don't know anything about this guy.
All right.
Let's see. He has the first name of a character in a Bible. And his last name is Bowie.
David Bowie, man. How do you not know?
I know his name and I don't know anything else about the guy.
Come on.
How old is he?
David Bowie. David Bowie is... See, this makes me remember back when Stever was doing birthdays. And like any classic rock person, he would play the music and he'd be like, Matt, come on! Because he knows his stuff, man. Stever's the man. Okay. David Bowie. Ah. 64?
68.
Ah!
It was close.
Our close, y'all.
And finally, this person is a singer. And his name... Her name?
Her?
Its name?
Its name.
Is R. Kelly.
R. Kelly! That's a boy.
Is it a boy?
R. Kelly is a man.
What's the R stand for?
Regis.
No,
I made that.
Regis Kelly!
You know who R. Kelly is.
Wait, Regis and Kelly was a show.
No, you know who R. Kelly is.
I really don't.
I believe I can fly!
Oh, really?
Yeah!
Oh.
And he's had tons of...
It was used by the Postal Service. The real Postal Service, not the band.
How do you not know who R. Kelly is?
Well, Matt, he's not R. Kelly.
He should be your Kelly.
He's somebody else's Kelly.
R. Kelly. Gosh, I'm going to show you his life when we go off air.
How old is R. Kelly?
You're going to be shocked. Okay, R. Kelly.
Did you say shot?
Shot.
That's a threat.
It's a promise. I mean, I said shocked.
Shock.
Shock and all, man.
Shocked.
We going to hit him with shock and all.
R. Kelly is?
R. Kelly is 45.
48.
Ah. Is that all the birthdays? Okay.
There's other ones.
But we don't know
but
them.
I don't even know what F Troop is.
Dude, that's an old TV show.
I'm not old.
Good grief. Okay, so it happened today. What year?
1975.
Nope.
Dang it, that was the first one.
Nope, it was the first corporation was chartered in the USA. It was a New York fishing company. And it wasn't 1975. But it was something 75, I'll give you that much.
1675.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
George Washington, in this year, delivered the first State of the Union address, in New York City.
1778.
1790.
Really?
A few years after the fact. Ooh, after 130 home basketball wins, Georgia Tech defeated Kentucky 59-58. It was the first Kentucky loss at home since January 2nd, 1943. It happened in this year.
1953?
1955.
I was close.
You were super close. All right, next one. 14-year-old Bobby Fischer won the United States Chess Championship for the first time in this year.
1996.
1958.
Wow,
I didn't realize
that was
early. Yeah, I didn't realize it was that long ago. I saw a movie called Searching for Bobby Fischer once.
Really?
It was pretty cool.
Did they find him?
I don't know. I can't remember right now. In this year, Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa was exhibited in the United States for the first time at the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C.
1962.
Oh. You were right there.
Right there.
That was a good guess. Yeah, you're pretty good at them guessings. I guess. It's funny. It's funny to me. In this year, AT&T agreed to divest itself of 22 subdivisions. AT&T. Bing.
98.
82. Oh, I bet you know this one. U.S. President George H.W. Bush fell suddenly ill at a state dinner in Japan. He became pale, slumped in his chair, and promptly vomited on the Japanese prime minister.
That is awesome.
It's on YouTube.
Is it really?
Yeah, it was like filmed.
That is great.
Mm-hmm.
We need to watch that.
We should watch it. There's a lot we have to watch. What year did that happen? George H.W. Bush.
I know. Man, because, like, I didn't really start following politics until Clinton's second term. And I generally just hate politics.
Mm-hmm.
88.
It was 1992.
Really?
In this year, the two top executives of Salt Lake City's Olympic Organizing Committee resigned amid investigations into how far city boosters stooped to win the 2002 Winter Games. Investigators found boosters gave IOC members cash payments up to $70,000.
Wow.
And expensive gifts, and paid educational, travel, housing, and medical costs of IOC members and their families.
2007.
1999.
Wait. They booked the games that far in advance?
I guess so. Well, it's only like... No, it was... What did you guess?
2007.
This was the 2002 Winter Olympics.
I know, so I figured they stepped down after the Olympics, not like years in advance.
I don't know.
Right? Like,
yeah, okay.
They stepped down in the 90s, and the games were in the 2002.
I guess, yeah, they do. They book them way early.
That's like way far in advance.
They do. That's totally true. Some people are out there, and they know everything about the Olympics, and they are screaming at their radio right now. How do you not know this, you idiot?
I actually do not care one bit about the Olympics.
You love them.
I am just that much of not a sports guy.
You love them. In this year, the RMS Queen Mary II, the largest passenger ship up to this point, was christened by her namesake's granddaughter, Queen Elizabeth II.
See, if I were a history buff, that would have been the clue to give me the date.
Mm-hmm. It's good that we're never on Jeopardy.
1910.
2004. And finally, in this year, New Jersey officially apologized for slavery, becoming the first northern state to do so.
2012?
2008.
Wow.
That's right. Today is bubble bath day. It's show and tell day at work. It's Earth's Rotation Day. Ever feel like you're just spinning around and around? Don't worry. We all are, all the time. Earth's Rotation Day is a little reminder that we're all spinning out of control, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Hey, aren't we all upside down, too?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
It's also Male Watchers Day. Who knows what that means? And English Toffee Day. And it's going to be a great day here on Team Awesome Morning Party, because we got some good stuff coming up.
It's not Male Watchers Day for me, because you're all I see.
Then you're watching me.
My point exactly.
Oh, you call me a girl now, huh? Trying to come after me, trying to make me feel inadequate. But not in this modern world. We all know that women are more than adequate. They are progressive.
I think you're overcompensating.
Nah, man. Girls are smart. I've seen it. I've seen it happen once or twice. Ever since they learned how to read last year, it's all good. Anyway, we'll be back in just a few minutes.
That's Matt Lott. 4001 Osuna Road, Northeast.
You can send hate mail to studio at mystaticradio.com. I haven't said that in a while. I need to throw it out there more often. We'll come back. We got more great music and more adequate stories right around the corner.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome back.
Now back to Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
I'm hitting these segues today.
Man, by tomorrow it's just going to be clean, and then you
and
won't
then Steve-O's back.
And then he's back. And then it'll be messing up again, because neither of us will remember.
He'll be relearning everything.
What do we do, man? All right, let's take a look at traffic right now. I'm going to refresh one more time. Booyah! I love this computer so much. Our old computer, I would refresh and I'd be standing here for 12 minutes.
Yep.
And it'd just be going... Nothing.
Terrible.
Only construction to report. Major road construction, Unser Boulevard at Black Arroyo Boulevard. Also, long-term road construction, San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue, Northeast. And we have road construction. The left lane is closed. Lomas Boulevard West at Broadway Boulevard. That's your look at traffic right now. Traffic is brought to you by Solomon's Porch, where we just got back from. I've got Dirty Chai Latte. What'd you get?
Iced mocha.
It's so cold.
You know what? I have trouble with hot coffee, and for some reason, hot coffee gives me heartburn, but iced coffee doesn't.
Huh.
And I'm too old to have heartburn.
Okay. Don't get pregnant. Dawn gets heartburn all the time.
I'm too young to have heartburn.
You're too old, man.
You know what? I just don't like heartburn.
If you don't like heartburn, give Solomon's Porch a call. 505-338-3669. Ask to speak to James. Tell him all about your issues with heartburn. And then maybe come by the campus, 4001 Osuna Road, northwest or
no,
northeast?
We're northeast.
Northeast.
Yeah, the divider's the train tracks.
I see. Anyway, that's where Solomon's Porch is. And you can find it right there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, Matt.
Hey.
You want to talk about dumping?
No, because we made an agreement that we weren't going to talk about poop stories anymore.
No.
You just said you want to talk about dumping.
Yeah, like getting dumped.
Oh. Well, with you, I never know what to expect, so I'm sorry. I was a little confused.
Although I guess they could be related.
What do you want to talk about? What do you want to talk about?
There's this story here in the show prep.
Okay.
And the headline... And I'm not going to give away the headline.
Okay.
I'm just going to read it here.
Let's hear it.
Police in China were called to mediate a dispute between a bride and her would-be husband. So it began when the bride-to-be waited in her gown for her fiancé on Friday morning.
Nice.
Until he texted her.
Good.
To cancel the wedding banquet reservation.
Usually something done in person.
Usually?
Usually.
Or, you know, I guess a lot of people aren't like... adult enough to actually do that in person, and so they'll maybe leave a note, like disappear and leave a note somewhere.
Okay.
You know?
Just
but
like
no,
a
this
handwritten
was, this,
note.
Yeah, this is a text.
Oh, okay.
I imagine it's like SRY G2G wedding off.
Ooh. Seriously? Or no, sorry. Sorry? So SRLY, seriously, or however that... There's an abbreviation for seriously.
There shouldn't be.
And then sorry, SRY, G2G, gotta go, bye. And then like a sad face.
He told his bride that he had been arrested for a brawl.
Ooh.
Which, that's kind of a strange one. Like, Yo, babe, I got in a brawl and I'm in jail.
You know me, just getting in brawls and whatnot.
You know, if that was the case,
yeah.
I guess he could have, like, waited for his arraignment and had the judge just do it then.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
No, turns out her relatives soon discovered the groom was not in jail. He was getting married to someone else down the hall in the same facility.
For real?
For real.
Who told him that the brawl idea would work?
I don't know. That is gutsy.
That's a terrible breakup.
That is a terrible breakup.
That is getting
breakup.
Dumped.
So that, I think that should be our question of the day.
Okay.
What is your worst breakup story?
That's a good one. Everybody's got a breakup story.
That one's going to be hard to top,
yeah.
I think.
Can you top it? Okay, so to recap, we've got this couple getting married. The lady receives a text from the would-be husband, the soon-to-be husband.
Soon-to-be husband.
Day of
day
husband.
Day of wedding.
Dave. Day of
husband. We'll call him Dave.
His name's Dave.
Dave the Chinaman.
Dave Stovall. Wait, that's not who it was. Anyway, day of wedding, he texts his soon-to-be wife and says, wedding's off. I got in a brawl, so I won't make it. But then, in actuality, he's dumping her because he's getting married to a different woman down the hall in the same building. The brawl was probably a self-fulfilling prophecy.
The brawl was coming.
No, it was about to. It was going to happen. So, can you top that breakup story? Give us a call, because we want to know if you can. There's a call on line one, but I think it was ringing before we even started talking. Hello?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey!
Hey, before I answer anything, I knew on Tuesday that this poop thing was going to last until Steve-O comes back tomorrow.
No, he comes
and
back
even tomorrow. Oh, okay. I was going to say, even if he came back tomorrow, it's still going to happen. And even on Monday, Mateo, I already know you, buddy. It's going to come up one way or the other.
It's not going to come up.
It's going to come out.
No, Daniel! I'm trying to be the wise one here. I'm trying to be the one that keeps this ship going. And if we're talking about poop, it's just going to be a real stinky sink.
Hey, man, I got a breakup story. It was before I was older, before the intimacy, like, you know, the real intimacy.
Right.
So it was from eighth grade to ninth grade the summer.
Hold on. What's the not real intimacy?
No, don't say. Don't.
No sex.
Okay. See, you did that. All right, continue. Sorry, pool boy.
No, you don't have to be sorry.
I am sorry.
No, but check it out. There was these tennis courts at this high school that my brother went to, and it was the summer from 8th to 9th grade, and we'd go play tennis. We'd just mess around, goof around and stuff, and there were these girls looking out the window of some apartment complexes just looking at us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, me trying to be cool, I just, you know, give them the old, come on over, you know? So they come down with tennis rackets.
What?
Dude, it is so crazy. So her name was Rocio, okay?
Rocio?
Yeah. She was
like you killed
gorgeous.
A seal and now you're roasting it?
No.
No, she was a beautiful
roast
young lady,
seal.
Right?
Okay.
It was before all the, you know, all that stuff. And so we start talking. It's the beginning of summer. We ended up hanging out. I would take my dad's car. He would let me drive, and I'd go visit her. And, you know, and we would kiss and stuff. Nothing crazy. But then when high school started, I knew she was going to be going to that school, and I totally ignored her.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, I was because I didn't want to never wanted a girlfriend at school.
Yo, I don't want to be tied down.
I get you.
Especially at school, there's
play,
so many
play.
Animals out there.
That's okay. So you
did you just say animals?
Antelopes, because I was a lion.
Oh gosh. I feel like I'm watching Lion King. I can't do this. Listen. Okay, so you met this girl playing tennis, right?
Yeah.
So when you dumped her, did you say you just got served? And
that's
if you
a
didn't,
great one.
Would you go back in time and do that? Because I would, because I'm
you know what? I really never had the gall to, like, I hate confrontation because I get real, like, if it's not going my way, it's just like, you know what, dude, what's up then?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, so it's really, I hate confrontation, especially with females. And, you know, so I just totally ignored her in the hallway. She kind of, like, looked at me and smiled, like, remember we kissed? And I'm like, eh. you know what I mean? And you know what's so funny, though? I ended up getting with my wife now I've been with her 18 years in high school. And I was with her in high school while she was pregnant, very young pregnancy, very young parents.
Yeah.
And we've been together 18 years, man. My son is 16. And
I'm glad you guys stuck it out. That's awesome.
It was tough, bro. It was super tough. But now we're adults, so now we kind of handle things different. You know?
I'm an adult.
At 30 years old, I became an adult.
Booyah. Thanks for calling us, pool boy. Have a good day.
All right, man. I love you guys.
Love
hey, boss man Dan.
Yes?
You did all right, man. You did all right.
Did
but
all
don't
right.
quit your day job.
This is my day job.
Oh, I love you, man. Later.
This is my day job.
Don't quit my day job. When you're doing your day job and somebody says, don't quit your day job, that's a bad thing.
No, he means your operations job. Because you're rocking in that operations job. This is good, too. I'm not saying it's not good. We're about to break up.
Question of the day. What is your worst breakup? There's a couple of stories that people are talking about.
Yes.
This one says, I dated a girl for about a year. Throughout the year, she spent the entire time telling me about how her ex-boyfriend dumped her on her birthday and how she'd never forgive him. Need to get over that. So what did this fella do?
What'd he do?
Dumped her on her birthday.
Booyah! It's terrible. That's a terrible gift.
He says he didn't mean to. He forgot it was her birthday.
Oh.
Which he supposes is a double whammy.
Well, it's probably good they broke up then, if you can't remember her birthday.
Yeah, he doesn't sound like a very nice fella.
Don's birthday is at some point in February. I know that much.
You got some time to figure it out.
Yeah, we got a little time. It's a couple months, right? What year is this?
This is 2015.
Got it.
Hello, caller.
Hey, boss man, I was just kidding, man. I meant Tebow, dude. I was just kidding, bro.
He was kidding with you. Now quit crying.
I love you, man. I love you guys rock, man.
I love you guys.
See you.
See, they love you.
That's
they
good.
They really love you.
He probably just felt bad.
Bad.
You know, Eric Lamb?
Yes.
You know how he fought Chuck Norris?
Yes.
Did he win?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But I was thinking, Eric Lamb, that's one bad dude.
I bet he's never heard that before.
I've been thinking that for days.
You should just walk up to him and
say it. Have not had an opportunity.
The goal would be if you could walk up to him and say that and not get punched.
I almost told Trisha that the other day when I thought of it.
Yeah. Probably not. She would have laughed, though. She gets stuff.
It would have been a mercy laugh.
No. A pity laugh. Guys, give us a call. Tell us, do you have a terrible breakup story? DJ Bossman Dan is fixated on these breakup stories because he found some good ones.
There is some good ones. My English teacher in high school, not mine. This is somebody else's story.
This is yours.
The English teacher in high school took this person out into the hall during class to tell him his girlfriend was breaking up with him.
Okay.
So how did, I just want to know, how did the girl get the teacher to do her dirty work?
Sounds to me like the teacher's a little too involved in the students' lives.
A little too involved in those lives.
Playing it up, man. You don't want that.
338-3700 is the number. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. What is your worst breakup story? Teo, do you have one?
Oh, gosh.
From your personal history?
I'm going to have to think about it. There's a few.
I only actually have one because I only got dumped once.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so the whole story is really awkward because, it was my fourth day in high school and this girl came up to me at lunch and asked me out. And I didn't know what to do, so I said yes. Okay. And I didn't even know her name until, 3 days into the, quote, relationship.
All right.
Well, after a week, she broke up with me. But she sent her friend to do it. So, I'm at my locker, and she sends her friend over to break up with me. And as her friend is breaking up with me, I look across the cafeteria, and there is the girl asking out her next boyfriend.
Oh, burn.
Yeah.
So she's the one asking the dudes out in this
situation.
Yeah,
she was actually crazy.
She was a go-getter.
She was nuts.
That's what it sounds like to me. She's
probably not listening, so I don't have a problem saying that. But
I don't have a breakup story right now that I can remember because I try to compartmentalize a lot of my negative memories, so I don't remember them anymore.
You just shove them down and push them back.
Just repress them real hard. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to figure that out. It'll take me about an hour. All right, so check it out. I have a story where one time I went out with this girl. And it was just a date. I was trying to figure out what I wanted in a lady because I'd just gotten out of a super serious relationship. And mm-hmm. I could tell that one, but that's really sad. Oh, I can't. No. It's happening. It's coming back. It's all coming back to me now. Celine Dion is in every phase of my life. It's awful. Now I'm thinking about Titanic. I'm getting really... Okay, back to the date story. So anyway, I get out of this serious relationship, and I'm like, I guess I don't really know what I want in a girl, because I was convinced that me and this other girl were going to get married, and then towards the end, it was like, no, who is, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. Who am I? So I got out of it, and I was like, I'm not going to have any serious relationships. And we had started touring, you know, and so we were just home for a little bit. And I was like, well, I'll just go out with this girl. She went to college with us. And we went out on a date. And I intentionally asked her out because we didn't really know each other. Like, we were just casual friends.
Right.
So we go out, and I'm super, like, music guy. I love music and nerd and comics. You know, that's me. This girl was like... co-captain of the cheerleading squad and played all these sports and everything. And so I was like, well, I've never, you know, gone out with a girl that was super sporty like that. We'll see how it goes. So we go see The Aviator, which this is how I love that movie. Now, I love that movie. We went on a double date. It was me and this girl, Emily, and then Dave, and I think he went out with, this could have been before he met his wife. But anyway, this was college, so I don't know. It's all a blur. Who knows why? But anyway, we go out, and I've never been out with somebody who I had less in common with.
Mm.
We were on the way to the date, and I was like, so what do you want to listen to? You got what bands are you into? And she was like, oh, you know, I'm not really into music. I listen to, I guess, everything.
Oh,
that's,
man,
the worst.
That is the
when
worst.
When you're in a band, and then you hear somebody say that, you're like, get out.
Get out of my car.
Enemy? You're my enemy. Mm-hmm. You are my enemy. So somehow got over. I was like, well, I'll just play something. And so I put something in and turned it down kind of low. And at that point, then it becomes this game where you're trying to, like, test.
Right? You're like, yeah, this is freshman 15.
No,
she's
she
like,
knew
oh,
who that,
they
she
suck.
Who, she knew who that was. She knew. That was my old band. But she would, like, come to our shows and everything. So I don't know what was happening. But so anyway, we go out on the date. We eat dinner. There's zero conversation, like zero in common. The little bit that I thought we had in common proved to not even be there.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go see this movie, and it's a long-winded movie. It's about Howard Hughes, and he goes crazy. It's Leonardo DiCaprio. I think Martin Scorsese directed it. So it's one of those kind of movies.
Right.
Which, it's great if you're sitting on your couch Saturday afternoon and you can watch the movie.
Right.
You know? And so... We got up in the middle of the movie and left, and I took her home.
Oh, no.
And I was like, yeah, that was great. And then I heard later that she wanted me to ask her out again. And I was
No.
Man. And I never asked her out again.
That's awful.
I took her out for a nice seafood dinner, and I never called her again.
We're talking about your worst breakup story. That's our question of the day, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Give us a call, 338-3700. Here's another one. After a few days of him not answering my texts, he sent me a Google Hangout, which, come on.
Yeah.
Who actually does that other than Google employees?
That's almost like getting a LinkedIn invitation. Those are the worst.
I get those constantly.
Those are the worst,
I had
man.
A LinkedIn for like a week, and then I got rid of it.
I'm not linked up. I'm not linked into anything.
I think it's dim.
Yeah, it is dim.
Anyway, send me a Google Hangout message that said, among other things, long story short, I'm in Iceland. He had moved without bothering to tell me.
Jeez.
Now, I think that one's hilarious. Like, don't break up. Just move across the world.
I mean, that's one way to handle it. That way you don't have to deal with it.
So I only have that one breakup story, but I do have a funny date story.
Let's hear the date
so
story.
So this, right before I started dating my wife back in high school, there was this chick named Nicole.
Okay.
And there were these... In my chemistry class, there was this couple, Brandon and what was her name? I don't remember. And they really wanted me to take Nicole to prom. And I was like, I don't even want to go to prom.
Who is this Nicole?
And so, and I had known her for a while.
Yeah.
Right? And she had wrote nice things in my yearbook the year before and everything. So I was like, maybe.
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 I'll think about it.
Okay.
So I decided, okay, instead of taking her to prom, I'll see if she wants to go hang out sometime.
All right.
So I called her up, and I was like, hey, you want to hang out? Not a date. Yeah. Not a date. Just want to hang out.
Just to hang out.
So we went and got sub sandwiches, and that was kind of nice.
That's cool.
Nice enough person.
That's a lunch move.
We were, yeah, you know,
mm-hmm.
We were not into anything of the same.
Yeah.
You know, she played softball a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate sports.
See? That's kind of what happened with me and that Emily girl.
Yeah, so anyway, she called me back like a few days later and was like, let's go see a movie. And I was like, okay, we can go see a movie, but let's go to a dollar movie.
Yeah.
And I'm not paying for you because we're not dating. Right? I was being so clear that we were not dating. I was like, we'll hang out and we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. And so we went and saw 16 going on 30.
Oh, no.
Is that what that's called?
13 going on
30. 13 going on 30.
With Jennifer Garner. I've never seen it.
Oh, gosh. There's so much glitter in that movie.
It's glitter everywhere. It's like my apartment.
So we're sitting in the theater and she keeps like, trying to snuggle up to me. Yeah. And I didn't want any of that. So finally, like half an hour in, I actually got up and put a seat between us.
What?
Like, I was trying to be so clear. Like,
you put the ghost man on third.
I got up and I sat a seat away from her so that she would leave me alone.
Oh my gosh. Did she get the message?
She did not get the
message. Because she's a softball girl and she
so,
was tenacious.
Then the movie was over
yeah.
and I took her home and I was like, not... I wasn't even talking to her. Like, we listened to music the whole
way
home.
Because
it was really awkward.
That's exactly what happened with me.
It was really awkward, and I was like, okay, I'm pretty much done with this. So I wasn't even being nice at this point. And I take her home.
That's the worst.
We get in front of her place, and she gets out.
Yeah.
And I, like, look forward and put the car back in gear. And, like, I'm about to start going, and she comes back in for a kiss.
Oh!
Right? But I'm, like, not even looking in her direction. I got, like, she got sideburn and, like, tongue in the ear. And it was disgusting. I was like, what are you doing?
She really was tenacious.
She was.
That's crazy.
And I actually, like, yelled at her, what are you doing? And then she ran away. And then I called my buddy Brendan and I was like, dude!
Did you cry?
No, I didn't
cry. I would have cried either.
I was like, you know, trying to get the spit out of my ear. I'm like, oh my gosh.
She gave you a wet willy.
She just made out with my ear.
Jeez, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, when you said she was leaning back in and you were about to drive off, I pictured you like pulling forward and her going, clap, and like the car hitting her.
No.
Which would have been even better.
No, it
poor
was,
girl.
It was really awkward.
Did you ever see her again?
Yeah, because she was in my chemistry class. And Brandon and Sarah, that was her name.
The irony.
Brandon and Sarah were like, what did you do? And I'm like, guys.
Now, tell me at the end, you said, guys, we just didn't have any chemistry. Right?
Nothing? I did not.
Come on!
It was just super awkward after that. Really super awkward.
I can see how that would happen. That's a pretty good break.
It is a pretty good story.
I'm surprised we're not getting more phone calls. What are you people doing? Give me a call and tell me about your worst breakup story. I want to hear it.
It doesn't have to be funny. It can be just like...
It can be miserable
and
sad.
It can be miserable. We'll crack jokes at it.
Yeah, we'll make it funny. If you have a terrible breakup story that makes you sad, we will make it. We'll redeem it. We'll make it funny for
you.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll be able to laugh about it later that night. You'll write down, it was funny. I laughed about it later that night. You can write it down in your journal. It'll be good.
Here's one.
Oh,
here's
there's one. Another one? It really that thing's full of breakup
stories. Full
story.
Of them. I dated a boy one night in middle school.
Okay.
2 hours in, he had a change of heart and dumped me by saying, you can't tie this rock star down.
Wow. What? How old?
Middle school.
You can't tie a rock star
you
down.
You can't tie this rock star
you
down.
You really cannot.
Ugh.
All right, let's go to line one.
Static.
Hello? Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't have a lot of breakup stories because, like most of my dad, I met myself in high school.
Oh.
But I was dating this one guy for about 2 years, and we weren't really serious because it's 7th grade. It wasn't that serious, but I thought I had to call it off because I never saw him. He went to another school and everything. I never seen him, so I said call it off. I call him up and I break up with him. Mm-hmm. And he tells me, oh, that's okay. I've been seeing another girl for the last year.
The last year?
Yeah. Ow.
Well, that's how it goes sometimes.
That's great.
And unfortunately, we are still friends.
That is why you never saw him, because he was always dating the other girl.
Good grief.
Exactly.
That's a bummer, but you can
I
laugh about it.
He was friends with my baby brother at that point, so it's like, I gotta be nice, but so we still hang out and see each other.
Oh.
But see, now you can totally joke about it. Now you're like, hey, you remember that time you were a jerk to me for a year?
Thanks for your story. We got another one, line two. Static.
Oh, they broke up with us. If you're going to call, don't break up with us.
Call
before we
back.
Answer it. Yeah, call back.
338-3700.
I want to know. I want that dude that lady just talked about to call us and say, no, that's not what
happened.
Yeah,
I'd like to hear the other side of that story.
That would be great if somebody called in and they told us this horrible sob story and then
the other person calls in and they're like, that is not what happened.
Let me tell you what happened. And then they got on a fight and we were sitting here going, oh, we were instigating.
That'd be great.
Oh!
Hey, there it is.
All right, let's see.
Hello, caller.
Hello?
It's Thebes.
Thebes, what's up, man?
Hey, man.
Have you had your heart broken?
What?
Have you had your heart broken?
No, I don't. No, I'm the heartbreaker.
You're the heartbreaker.
Yeah, I've got a breakup story that's kind of bad.
Let's hear it.
Don't look at me badly, but...
We won't look at you at all.
Yeah, when I was 21...
It's radio.
I moved to, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Ooh. And... started dating a girl there probably a month into me being out there, and we talked about getting married and all this stuff, and it came down, we did this thing where we would have like a monthly anniversary type thing. I'd give her something every month, and I was just working at 7-Eleven. I didn't have a lot of cash or anything like that.
Baby, so, it's a Slurpee.
Right, exactly. Anyway, it was really kind of stressful to get her something every month, which is great. You know, I didn't mind it. I was very happy to do that and whatever. Anyway, one month she didn't get me anything, and I was like, oh, okay, no sweat. You know, she said she didn't have any money. Like 2 days later, no joke, 2 days later, she had these like boots that she bought. She's like, yeah, I got these new boots. How do you like them? I'm like, that's cool, I guess. But she was tall, mm-hmm. and I'm tall, and I don't like her being taller than me.
Right.
And she had, So anyway, she knew I didn't like the boots in the first place. She didn't, whatever. And then, of course, you know, like, okay, maybe she's losing interest or whatever. So I'm gonna go ahead and break up with her. You know, she didn't give me a gift, and then she offered to get herself a gift or whatever. So I sat there in her house and in her parents' house, and I'm breaking up with her, and she starts bawling, dude. She's like, oh, I beg you, I want to get back. Let's try it again. We'll try harder, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, come on. All right, let's do this. All right, let's try again.
Yeah.
3 months later, it comes down to, like, Christmas, right? And I'm like, I really want to get out of this relationship, and I really don't want to buy her a Christmas gift before I break up with her.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? I'm going to go move back to California. And she says, but what about us? I said, no. I'm going to move back to California. If, you know, I need to get some money raised up. You know, I'm going to go back and get my job out there. Then we'll get married or whatever.
You left her dangling?
And so I didn't break up with her.
She's still waiting for you.
She's got those boots on right now. She's been pining for years.
Then I wrote her a letter breaking up with her.
Well,
and of course, you know, snail mail takes like 3 or 4 days. So I'm talking with her on the phone. Yeah, I love you. I miss you, blah, blah, blah. And of course, I had already written this letter of breaking up.
Oh.
And so I even screen her calls sometimes, and I was like, no, I'm not going to take this call. I don't want to lie to her and all this stuff. So, anyway, that was the worst. I still feel bad, dude. This is 20 years ago, man.
Oh my gosh,
that was terrible. I'm a loser for that. But whatever.
I mean, you got out. You got out of the state.
Hey, when the boots thing happened, you should have been like, girl, I hope those boots are made for walking.
Dang, that's Nancy Sinatra.
Exactly. That would have been good.
Thebes, have you gotten to hang out with Steve-O any?
Yeah, we got to hang out at Disneyland a couple of days ago.
Does he have measles right now?
I don't know. Brody's not doing too well. I mean, he's smiling a little bit, but man, he's pretty lethargic. At least when I saw him. But we got to hang out a little bit. We got to we went on Splash Mountain. Got some pictures on Splash Mountain.
Nice.
And you should, if you haven't seen Luke. If you haven't seen a picture of Luke on Splash Mountain, Oh, man, it's great.
All right, I'll check it out.
Yeah, so, okay.
Good to hear from you, bud.
Talk to you guys later. Dan, you're doing a great job.
Hey, thanks.
The awkwardness is awesome.
It's powerful.
I mean, it's more there than any time I've ever seen. So.
Yeah, we're totally right doing that on purpose.
You need to get the old man in there.
Oh, gosh.
That would be perfect right now. So, okay.
Good to hear from you, Thieves. Later.
All right, man. Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
That dude's awesome. Listening from California.
That's right.
Gosh, that's a pretty stout way to handle a breakup, though.
Eh?
You dip out at about, you know, crossing state lines, and then you send an old school letter. Man, that's a place to be.
We know that they had caller ID, but email probably wasn't a thing.
No, definitely not. I said 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Wait, 20 years ago was the 90s.
I know.
That's awesome. That's sad.
I know.
Gosh, I'm old. All right, let's take a look at traffic and then we'll take a break.
Do you think she named her children Thebes?
No. Why would she do that?
That's one of the things that I would always be worried about. Like,
yeah.
What if Dawn had been horrifically heartbroken mm-hmm. by somebody named Lavendude?
Lavendude. We're not naming the kid Lavendude. Here, we got a phone call.
Another call.
Hello. If you don't quit calling me and hanging up, I'm going to find you.
What a jerk.
I'm going to find you, and DJ Bossman Dan is going to sit you down and give you a great talking to. Won't you?
Yes.
See? And that's going to be awkward. You wait.
And I'm going to bring my friend, Mrs. Manners.
Oh, no. You have a friend? Let's take a look at traffic. Look at it. Nobody ever celebrates the traffic bumper, and you just raised your hands.
I did a little jig.
Okay, major road construction. Unser Boulevard at Black Arroyo Boulevard. Also, we've got long-term road construction. San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast. As well as road construction. The left lane is closed on Lomas Boulevard West at Broadway Boulevard. That's your look at traffic. Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch here on the Calvary Campus, 4010 Sooner Road Northeast. In Albuquerque, USA, you can give them a call, 505-338-3669. Pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
It's time for us to break up with this segment and move into a little music.
Okay.
We'll come back right after the 8 o'clock hour with hopefully more breakup stories. We posted it on Facebook, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Go online and tell us your breakup story. That way you don't have to call us because apparently that's the worst thing in the world to do.
You don't have to be dumped. You can be the dumper.
You can be the dumper. We just heard from a major dumper. His name's Thebes.
Don't touch that dial. Listen to
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Let's take a look at traffic. If you are southbound on 25 around the Paseo intersection, the Grand Exchange, you're down to about 12 miles an hour. Must be a lot of traffic around there. Also, we have some road construction, long-term road construction at San Mateo Boulevard and San Diego Avenue Northeast. Also, major road construction over at Unser and Black Arroyo Boulevard, as well as the left lane being closed due to construction at Lomas Boulevard West and Broadway Boulevard. There's a little bit of congestion on 40 in various places, and again, a lot of congestion around Paseo and 25. That's your look at traffic right now. It's brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast here on the Calvary Campus. You can give them a call at 505-338-3669. That's it.
That's it.
Woo!
So we got somebody in the studio.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
Who is it?
It's Clay Schroff.
Oh!
Happy New Year.
There he is right there. Happy New Year.
By the way, what the heck is up with Paseo del Norte? It's supposed to be done and it's slower than ever.
I think it's fast.
Dude, I fly through there every time.
Of course, because you guys leave at 3 in the morning.
That's true. We do leave at 3 in the morning.
I usually come in at 8.
He's been coming in super early, though.
But I get off at Jefferson. I don't go up unless some jerk won't let me off the road there.
Yeah, and I know who that jerk is.
It's always you, isn't it?
We know who it is.
Who is it?
Gonna can't find
his
you
name on the air. Oh. But his address is 128. Just kidding.
I don't know whose address
I don't know
that.
Who it is.
I know it's not you.
It's not me, because I'm asleep. I'm always asleep.
I know the street Steve-O's on.
Oh,
Steve-O. But he should be at work at that point.
I don't know. He's not here this
Does your address start with 128?
It does not.
It is you.
I go so fast that nobody, all accidents are behind me.
Yeah. Okay, Clay, what's going on? You got a lot going on.
First of all, check out our Facebook page. We had so many people who, first of all, you know, Calvary had that giant gift box out in the foyer. And a lot of those we were able to send to a lot of the at-risk youth of New Mexico through Children, Youth, and Family and through a lot of those other organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So those kids got some really cool gifts for Christmas.
That's awesome.
But Christmas Day, a group of us went out and were escorted by the Albuquerque Police Department. And we passed out hundreds of gifts between trailer parks and at-risk apartment buildings. And it was so cool. But we still couldn't give all the gifts away. So we went back out New Year's Day and did the same thing. A lot of people put in a lot of time.
Nice.
And here's the really cool thing. We still couldn't give away all the gifts. So we're planning an Easter event where we're going to invite them to the Easter sunrise service.
That is awesome. So did you guys know whose houses you were going to, or were you just going to kind of...
I let the spirit lead me. I sent my guardian angel out before me, and they brought me... No, seriously, on Christmas, we stopped at a trailer park. I called 242 cops, and I said, hey, this is what we're doing. We're in the area. Nobody freak out. There's like 10 of us cars. And then I said, hey, but if you want to send out some officers, send them. And they came, and then we asked them. I said, hey, where do you go for... And if you're listening and you live in these apartment complexes, don't take it personal. But I said, hey, where's the most domestic violence?
Okay.
Where's your most calls? And the more at-risk kids going to live.
That's awesome.
And they said, you really want to go to these places? And we said, heck yeah. So we went and we gathered up kids and they heard the gospel message. We prayed with people. We passed out gifts. And it was awesome.
That's really cool.
It's cool that you're going to get to do it again at Easter. So if people go to your Facebook, they can figure out how to get involved with that, I'm guessing.
They can always inbox.
Inbox you.
We can't have 1,000 people giving, you know what I mean? We may break in the little groups, put you with a ministry leader. The rules are the gospel gets preached. We go out there in love, and we invite them to the Easter service, which isn't that far away.
It's really not.
Yeah, it's right around the corner.
Right around the corner.
But it was really, really, really cool. It gave us a chance. I've gotten call from, should I even say this on the air? Probably not, but let's do it anyhow. So, you know, we've gotten call from like the warden of a ladies' prison, who a young lady is pregnant and they're looking for an adoption. Please don't call me on this. We have people lined up, for it, but it's really, really cool. We've had churches giving us calls, letting us know that they've had young ladies that find themselves in unwanted pregnancies, and they're learning that the unwanted pregnancy is the pregnancy itself is a blessing. That the child itself is a gift from God, and we're finding that the tide is changing.
Yeah,
Zoe Project, we got 5 referrals in a day.
Wow,
we have a hard time getting 15 people through Project Zoe because if you and I'm talking fast because there's a lot. If anyone knows anything about Project Zoe, it's a boutique we run off of Montgomery and Morris. It's a man-free zone, so when I say we, it's all the girls.
Mm-hmm.
But we change out the whole store to fit that one girl that's coming through. So wow. it takes a couple days to actually get the store ready for a girl to come in. But we're really excited about what God's doing there, and we need clothes. So if you're a young lady with hip clothes, new or like new, let me say that again, new or like new, that doesn't fit an 80-year-old woman, then we would love to have your clothes. This is a drop-off point. You guys have been awesome about doing that. American Toyota is a drop-off point. Unfortunately, you can't really drop it off at Project Zoe because it's a turnkey, and we're only there for sizing up for girls or if the girls are coming.
Yeah.
We're teaming with a lot of different ministries. Just special prayers out to... we have some ladies that are at Copper Point that go into the strip clubs and are ministering to the strippers there and inviting them out. We've actually had one or two of them come through Project Zoe. But just a lot going on.
That's cool.
We are also looking for a billionaire to make me a millionaire so I don't have to work anymore.
Yeah, he's got a wedding right around the corner.
So if you have $1 billion and you'd like to give it away.
Not all of it.
That's Static Radio.
Just a fraction of it.
I just need a little.
He just needs a little money.
We've truly outgrown who we are as ministries. And what I mean by that is, you know, before, we were pretty much self-funded, mm-hmm. more or less. And not that we don't collect donations through the Calvary website, because we're listed as one of their ministries. Mm-hmm. And we get a small amount there. And, of course, our websites have ways that people can give. But it's generally a fraction of what we have to spend. And
right.
we've now outgrown it. And that's not a complaint. And that's not even asking our listeners for money.
Right.
It really is a blessing, because God has used us in a way that now that we've outgrown. And then we are on the verge of starting a coffee shop downtown for at-risk youth.
Awesome.
So if anyone has, maybe you had a coffee shop and you want to donate the old coffee equipment, we would be more than glad to take that. And then we're looking for graphic designers who are willing to donate their time.
Man, that's a ton of stuff going on. And you've got a ton of stuff going on personally.
Yeah, my daughter's getting married in 3 more days, Saturday.
Gosh,
so I think that's 3 more days.
You're a busy man.
10 kids.
You know,
but the kids aren't problems. You know what?
Right.
I'm finding that NyQuil works wonderful when you got stuff. I'm kidding, by the way.
You just dose them.
Just kidding. No one do that. That's child abuse, and you will go to jail.
Don't.
And then we'll end up with your kids.
That's Unless funny. They actually have a cold and are of age.
And are way of age.
Way of age. You guys got to help me out with all this stuff, because I don't know anything about it. I'm going to be finding out soon.
Yeah, you're just not going to get any sleep. But you can sleep when you're dead.
That's true. And
you,
maybe
you
I'll
can
die
use
soon.
The NyQuil.
I can use the NyQuil to sleep and possibly die, depending on the dosage, which I'll figure out later.
Always read the label.
Ask
your wife.
I read sometimes.
To read the label.
I don't think she'll let you have it. She'll be like, if I have to suffer, you have to suffer.
We suffer together. We are married.
You'll be like, I'll just take a swig.
No, I'm not getting in a fight with Dawn. She'll defeat me. She's smarter than me.
You know what? And talking on the air about stuff that generally radio shows don't, but they have breast pumps.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. you can actually get up in the middle of the night. And I did the middle of the night feeding, allow my wife to sleep. And then so it allowed her that extra time.
And Matt, one time I read a story about a guy who was trying to quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
He thought he was wearing his ex-girlfriend's nicotine patch.
Not so much.
It was a birth control patch.
Oh.
And he started lactating.
Okay.
So then, like...
Matt, don't go there.
I'm not...
Matt, don't even think about it. No.
I'm just thinking about it.
That's inappropriate. That's wrong.
DJ Bossman
Dan. But you do lose weight.
I'm not doing any of this stuff! We're supposed to talk about Aspen Project! We're talking about breast pumps and nicotine patches! How did we get here?
Well, let me tell you how. Because there are a lot of young ladies out there that find themselves with unwanted pregnancies
right.
that we're more than glad to help you out with. You know what else we're doing? Let me tell you, and I can't mention names and stuff, but it's really cool. We also have a young lady that just had a baby and really has not had the mother there to teach her how to be a mother and what to do and what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and my daughter have been asked to help out. And it is so cool because she's keeping the baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not all about adoption. You know, we also want to help young mothers keep their babies and to keep them healthy and to teach them the right way. And it's been such a blessing to watch this young lady who really doesn't have... You know what? Parents, not gonna be parents, but if you don't, call us. Let us help you. We'll plug you in with mentors. A mentor can be just as simple as saying, yeah, no, it's okay if you know, if breastfeeding, if you're unable to do it, there are other ways. And
yeah.
it's okay.
Yeah.
You can still bond with your baby. And if you need help, and we do have kid clothes, and we have cribs, and we team with a ton of partners, including Static Radio.
Static Radio. That's this station. This one that you're listening to. And again, I want to reemphasize the fact that if you're bringing clothes and stuff, like he said earlier, we're a drop-off point. You can totally bring them here. But they need to be new or like new, because especially with Project Zoe, these girls are getting prepped for like job interviews and different placement opportunities. And so if you bring, you know, crappy stuff, that girl's not going to be able to put her best foot forward as far as wardrobe goes.
Well, she'll never see it. And it takes a lot of time and effort on our end.
Well, yeah. I think probably a decent judgment would be if you aren't willing to wear it.
If you weren't willing to buy it out of a store.
Yeah, if you aren't willing to buy it, then You know, if it's not good enough for you, it's not good enough for them.
Don't put it off on somebody else. Give them something better.
We only put the best out. And I want to, let's just look at that for a minute. So you have a girl that her whole life has been told that she's a piece of meat.
Mm-hmm.
She's only good for a few things. That she's drug addicted, that she's worthless. And what Project Zoe really does, the clothing is not about the clothing.
Right.
I mean, it's a way to get a young lady to come into a boutique and feel special because she's being brought by a sponsor. And then she's met by 2 to 3 Zoe girls, and all the attention is put on her. And if you're going to bring someone, she's not going to hear, Jesus loves you. And that's important, and we know that they do. But a lot of these girls that are being brought to us are coming out of juvenile detention or adult detention,
mm-hmm.
rape crisis center. They're being trafficked. They're coming out of strip clubs and being trafficked there. So, and sometimes they're just suicidal or on suicide watch.
Mm-hmm.
So these girls really don't want to be preached to or at. And that's kind of our philosophy. And it's funny how it works because these girls will come in and we'll dote on them. When I say we, remember, these are the girls doting right. on the girls.
Not creepy Clay.
Not creepy Clay.
Right.
And by the end of it, they're waiting. They're waiting for, they're waiting to be preached to or at or down to.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't. And at the end of it, they always go, why are you doing this for me?
Yep.
And then we get to say, you know what? Because Christ loves me and he's told me to love you.
Absolutely.
And then they get more. Out of 8 girls coming out of 7 or 8 girls, and I want to check with my wife on the exact statistics, we brought them to the O2 experience,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
5 to 6 of them went forward and accepted Christ.
That's awesome.
So it's changing lives, and we're changing lives by not forcing. We tell people we're not a push ministry. We don't push Christ on anyone, no one.
Mm-hmm.
We're a pull ministry. We come and see, and we first try to meet their earthly needs. You know what? How to handle your depression, how to handle the unexpected pregnancy, how to handle the fact that you're just getting out of jail or detention and you have no clothes and you don't know how to do a job interview. So we do job interview skills or health classes or how to get your further education. All of that stuff, we meet those needs. And through meeting those needs, we get to share the love of Christ. And they suddenly, they don't care about our God until they know how much we, representing our God, cares about them.
Yeah, that's so important to remember.
You know, it's easy to preach at someone. It's really difficult to love them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true. Like the big difference there. And you know, anyone can sit and listen and hear a message and then go in one ear and out the other. But when you actually like get down with them and just show them love and show them that they are valuable to you, then that's when the gospel is truly preached.
You got to think what Christ did for us before we were saved,
mm-hmm.
before we became who we were. Because before any of us were saved, but I look at my own life, I mean, I was scum, you know. I wasn't worth saving, but yet Christ died for me. And that's how we want these girls to know that they're valuable, they're loved. They're loved enough that the God of the universe died for them and suffered and came to earth. You know, and in the Bible it tells us that we are more precious than precious jewels. And that's what we want these girls and young men to feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not a sin out there that the people in this room or anyone listening hasn't committed in some form.
Right.
You know, because Jesus says that if you were to be angry at your brother, that you had already committed murder in your heart. Or mm-hmm. if you have looked at a woman with lust, you have already committed adultery. And I think it's really important that we apply that to all sin. And we look at some sins as being so much worse than every other sin.
Mm-hmm.
And as the church, and let me say this, we belong to churches and team with churches that this necessarily isn't the norm, but there are still so many out there. Abortion's a great way. You know, where I see pro-life advocates that are out there just to save the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And we are so much the opposite of that we want to save the woman. And by saving her, hopefully we do a job that saves the baby.
Mm-hmm.
But if she does, you know, there's women out there that have had abortions. And because of that and because of the way the church has treated them because of that, mm-hmm. has pushed them away from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that that woman will ever be reunited with that child is if we can save her. If we can save her, then someday she'll be reunited with that child that she had aborted in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff, yeah. And that's just a philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I think it's great because it shows there a lot of ministries, like you said, they want to get like one specific thing done, especially when it comes to pro-life things. They just want to save the baby. And in turn, forget about, you know, the woman or even the man in the situation. We've discussed that, you know, before. But I think it's so cool that you guys keep going and you're like, hey, this is like a family unit. You know, you want to bring you want to build the family up and bring the woman back.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just the child's life that has value.
Right.
So much of the time the child's overlooked, but it's the mother's life that has value, too. And it's so important. And I mean, even religious organizations that are, you know, trying to stop abortion and whatnot. So much of the time we just talk about the issue instead of doing it. James 1:27, which I'm sure probably everyone has heard, is that pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And I think that that right there is a great set of priorities. It's like, yeah, you got to be clean yourself. You have to be a Christian, be in a walk with Christ. But if you aren't like going to them and ministering to them and showing them the love of Christ, mm-hmm. what's the point?
Well, you think about the folks that we work with, and we have just a great team of people that come alongside us and help us. But we're dealing with with the muck and the mire. I mean, we have to wade out, and you see a lot of it is done in hate. I see a lot of anger in ministries.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? How can you be shooting up? How can you have aborted your baby? How can you? And then you fill in the blank.
Yeah.
And so many times, you know, and the Bible tells us if we don't do it in love, we have nothing. Mm-hmm. We gain the whole world. And if we have not love, we have nothing.
Absolutely.
So if you don't put it on a foundation, and that's what I always break it down to, the simplest things. If we don't break it down to love and doing it in love, then don't do it.
Yeah.
Because you're hurting the name of Christ.
And you know, there's so many people who will make an excuse because maybe they don't feel equipped. Maybe somebody had an abortion and it's still too close to them to feel like they can minister to somebody who's going through the same thing. Maybe it's on their heart, but they can't bring themselves to go forth and do it. And that's what's so great about organizations like Project Zoe and, you know, the Aspen Project and the other organizations that you have going, and even other organizations around the world, Gospel for Asia, Christian Alliance for Orphans, all these different organizations, is that, man, I'm not equipped for it. But I can send out people who are, you know, like digging wells in India. Yeah, it would cost me a fortune to get on an airplane and fly over there and get a shovel and start digging and whatnot. But through an organization like Gospel for Asia, a couple people can raise a grand and provide an entire village with water. And, you know, you and I, Matt, we're probably not the best equipped or the most appropriate to go minister to an at-risk teenage girl. Mm-hmm. But you've got people who are, and by supporting you, we are putting our way into that ministry and causing it mm-hmm. to become effectively done.
You know, the reason we call ourselves the Aspen Project is an aspen tree's roots. You know, you notice there's never just one aspen tree. They
send out those shooters everywhere.
And then the roots of one aspen tree wrap around the roots of another aspen tree, and they graft together and become one living organism.
Huh.
And that really is the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And even through fires and disaster and wind, they remain strong, and they come back mm-hmm. after disaster because they have wrapped those roots around each other. And that's really what we're about. The Aspen Project itself, so often we talk about what we do, but in truth, we are reaching out to another organization that already does that. We never try to recreate the wheel,
mm-hmm.
and we join with them. And a lot of times we'll have, this is a situation I've never had to deal with before, but hold on a minute. Mm-hmm. This organization does do that.
Yeah.
And they belong to a lot of different churches. Our rule is this. They must believe in the foundations of Jesus Christ. Salvation. Salvation through grace alone, not through works. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God, incarnate flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, and only through his grace. We team with those churches that believe that. because they're plugging in the truth into these kids. And then we sometimes, and more often than none, do a handoff,
mm-hmm.
but yet still, you know, stay in touch. Mm-hmm. Because that church or that ministry is equipped to do what they do. And we let them do it. God has already called them to help heal and to love these individuals back,
mm-hmm.
you know, to call them to himself. And the Aspen Project, really, if you are a ministry out there and you are doing something with youth, we'd love to graph with you.
Yeah.
It ain't about us. You know, the cool thing about ministry, too, is it's a ministry. Mm-hmm. We share our resources willingly and freely. And oftentimes there have been great opportunities, financial opportunities through properties or something that someone was willing to give. And if it was a business, I'd already own that property. But because we're a ministry, I've had to pass on it because I couldn't use it to what God would want it used as.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's hard sometimes. Mm-hmm. So if you're a ministry and you need, if you would love to team with us, we would love to team with you. But if you don't love Jesus, don't call us because we ain't teaming up with you.
That's cool. Well, man, you got a lot going on. Thanks for coming in and telling us all about it.
Well, and thank you guys for having a platform. And thank you. And I say this every time. If it wasn't for the supporters and the people who are helping support this radio station, a lot of people wouldn't be touched. And, you know, I wish there's a lot of times I can't even tell you about the calls I get because they're confidential calls.
Right.
That is saving lives, that is saving children, that is keeping families together because of what they've heard on this radio show. So thank you.
That's cool. Well, you can find out all the information you need to know at our Facebook, facebook.com/mystaticradio. We posted links to Aspen Project's Facebook and Project Zoe's Facebook. All the info that you would ever, ever, ever need is available there. We're going to come back in just a minute after some music with a little more talk about breakups, and then it'll be time for Theology Thursday, so don't go anywhere.
And I'm leaving, so I am leaving you too.
Fine, Clay. We're breaking up.
Today.
We broke up.
I'm broke up.
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
Who's ready for some more Team Awesome Morning Party?
Anyone?
Anyone? Anyone?
Come on, don't be shy.
Well, tough, we're giving you more anyway.
Bingo, man, bingo!
Static Radio.
It's traffic time!
It is traffic time.
I love traffic time.
Glad you're excited about it. I'm super glad you're excited about it.
I love the little orange triangle square thingy on its side.
It's bad to love that.
It just means there's something happening.
No, it means that there's something bad happening.
It does mean
something terrible has occurred.
Guys, there's an accident reported I-25 south at Osuna Road. That's right over there.
Hey, that's
slash
here.
San Mateo Boulevard. That's exit 230. Again, an accident reported I-25 south at Osuna slash San Mateo. Exit 230 off of 25. Also, we've got long-term road construction San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast, as well as major road construction Unser Boulevard at Black Arroyo Boulevard. Mitch, I tried to say Arroyo the other day, and it was very wrong.
What did you say?
I said Arroyo.
That's right, like Froyo.
I did. And there's road construction, left lanes closed, Lomas Boulevard West at Broadway Boulevard. That's your look at traffic.
By Solomon's Porch?
No. Who does Solomon's?
Who's sponsoring it?
You
traffic
say it, Mitch.
Is brought to you by Solomon's Porch.
Exactly.
On the Calvary Albuquerque campus, phone number 505-338-3669. I don't know why you'd want to call them because they don't do delivery, but you can call them.
You can call and talk to James.
You can just have a conversation. It's good stuff.
Just share your life.
Yeah, and they are kind of like therapists.
They are?
Yeah. Totally.
Okay. Totally.
Yeah, I'm
And speaking of Michelle being in studio.
Hey, guys.
Have you been listening to the show, Mitch?
I got to catch about 30 seconds of it in which you guys were talking about breakup stories, and immediately I was like, I've got one.
Let's hear it.
Let's hear your story.
So, I just gotten out of a big relationship, and I started dating.
Now, by big relationship, do you mean with, like, multiple people?
Or was it a giant landmass?
The latter, yes.
Geographical?
Yes.
Or are you talking about like a boat that was large that was titled like the USS Relation?
It was what Matt said.
That's what I thought.
Makes more sense.
I started dating another guy. We dated for approximately 2 weeks before he was like, "You want to be a teacher? I want to be a cop. This could really work out. I could see us together for the rest of our lives. And I thought, this isn't going to work out.
Oh.
Immediately. But instead of breaking up with him right then and there, I prolonged that relationship for another 2.5 months. And at the end of the 3 months that we had been dating, he wanted to go to a coffee shop and just hang out and have coffee. And I said, okay. But in my mind is, this is the time that I break up with him. This right. is it. So we get to the coffee shop, sitting there in the parking lot, and I start talking to him. Little did I know, mm-hmm. I would be in that parking lot for 6 hours.
What?
Trying to break up with him, trying to convince him that this is correct, that I do not want to be with him.
Yeah.
It took me 6 hours, and then after I was like, I'm sorry, I think it's better this way. I don't want to spend my life with you. I got in my own car. I left. Mm-hmm. And then I started getting phone calls.
Immediately.
Immediately. With proclamations of, I love you. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be together.
How many weeks in was this?
Technically, it was 12 weeks because it was 3 months.
3 months.
So, and the worst part about it all was that I started dating this guy. The moment I started dating him, I was like, oh, what did I just do? Have you ever had those relationships where you started dating someone? You're like, I regret this immediately.
Yeah.
That was that relationship.
Yep.
Immediate.
And then you feel bad, and so you stay in it because yes. you're like, maybe something will happen. Maybe I'm just
giving
being
him
selfish.
The benefit of the doubt. Like, maybe I'm being judgmental right now.
I haven't shared a lot of my breakup stories, but I want to give you an overarching theme of mine and a little advice to maybe some if you're a dude out there, and especially if you're a Christian dude, do not do what I did. Most of my breakups were mean. They were my fault. I was the one doing, especially
you're
in
the heartbreaker.
College, I was the one doing the breaking up. And I always found a way to include God in the breakup and kind of try to put it off on God. And I'm here to tell you, friend, even if you really believe that, don't say it, because
I really
you
just
sound
think
like it's horrible.
This
it's
was
so
you.
Selfish to do that.
This was you. I really just think that God is leading me in a different direction.
That's exactly what I told Daniel earlier.
Ooh.
I really think God saw
I got
me.
That line once.
Yeah.
And then I called all my friends and all of his friends and was like, guess what so-and-so just said.
Yeah. It's lame. So if you're a dude out there, you're a Christian dude, and you got... That's not the one. Just say you don't like her anymore. Be brutally honest. And in fact, it'll probably make her really mad at you, and it'll be a cleaner breakup because she won't
especially
want,
after a 2-year
she
relationship.
Won't want anything to do with you, and it won't be some mystical weirdness. And then later you're thinking, oh, I totally just lied about God to somebody. That's cool. That gives them a good impression of him. What's he doing? Just running around telling people to break up. So don't do that. That's my friendly advice.
Plus, it really complicates it if you get back together.
Yeah.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
No.
So, I heard from God again. He wants us to resurrect the relationship.
It's all a metaphor. It's a lesson. Gosh. If you've said that to somebody, I hope that girl looked you back in the eye and said, no.
You break up with them and then call them back 3 days later. It's the 3 days
rule.
Stop it.
No. Himium. Yes.
Stop it. All right. Yes. Guys, Theology Thursday is coming up in like 5 minutes. We're going to play a couple songs.
We're going to undo everything we just done.
Yeah, we got to get out of here real quick. We'll be back with Pastor Brian Nixon and Jarrett Petro for some Theology Thursday. Post your questions now. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. We have zero questions. We have zero breakup
Maybe
stories.
Maybe that's because...
I'm upset. Zero breakup stories. You guys,
People
while
are
I was
afraid.
Gone,
I was
put
thinking,
that picture up of Steve-O and Chrissy, and it was like, whoa!
I'm thinking maybe the breakup stories are too sensitive, like they're too close to home.
Well, guys, y'all need to get over it and embarrass yourself. Put your story out there.
Nobody knows who you are. You can use a fake name.
You can use a fake Facebook. That's
you could
legal.
Have called in.
Don't. You can't do that. That's
no,
not.
That's your...
Anyway, we'll be back after this.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
What are you talking about?
What kind of talk is this anyway?
Theology Thursday with Steve-O and Mateo. Featuring pastors Brian Nixon and Jarrett Petro.
Here it comes.
Let's begin.
Hello.
Except for today. when it's DJ Bossman, Dan, and Mateo.
Yeah, I'm used to Steve-O going, good morning! Ah! I forgot. Oh, sorry.
Do you want me to start that over?
No, it's good. We're already here.
Okay.
There's no points.
Okay. I won't scream in the mic then.
Take forever. It was predetermined to be this way.
That's something we could discuss.
We could discuss that.
We could discuss that. We've discussed that in the past.
We have.
But we haven't discussed it in a while. So if there is someone out there who wants to call and talk about that, they're more than welcome to give us a ring. What is that number?
505-338-3700. You got me and DJ Bossman Dan. And you have Pastors Brian Nixon and Jarrett how do you say it?
Petro.
Patio.
Is it PPOP?
Patio.
Yeah, it's Petro.
It's Petro. Yeah, Pastor Jarrett Petro. Still can't say it.
Petro.
Petro. He's pre-trib.
I forgot.
Jarrett Petro.
I forgot about you guys over the holidays. Who are those guys?
That's right.
And then Jarrett walks in with his beard growing out. I was like, who is this model? This model man walking in.
It's a gray beard, though.
It is. It's Silver Fox.
That's right. 338-3700. 338-3700. We could even talk about numerology and such like that, you know.
Yeah,
that
sounds good.
I don't know.
338-3700.
That's good.
We could break down these numbers for this telephone.
Oh, no.
That people could
call.
Starts
with Trinity Grace is 8. Is that right?
Stop
and then with 7?
Well, 3, Trinity.
Yes.
Obviously, 7, the number of perfection. Of God's, you know,
it's
creation.
Not
6 days,
number.
That's right.
Yeah, it's not. Go ahead.
Of course, you could get into the number 6 and all these other things. But we won't go there yet because someone hasn't yet called and asked about it.
No, we have a call right now.
Okay,
though.
Let's do it.
Gosh.
Theology Thursday.
Yeah, I had a question. I know you guys probably touched base on this before. But my question is more towards, Greek mythology and also, about how they say, Lazarus being the first dead. Well, I guess my main thing is this, is my question is, If there is parts in the Bible where it does talk about people, we have, all you need is a mustard seed of faith and you can move a mountain. But what I guess where it ties into the Greek mythology is, they had men that were, gods of if you believe in that, of Hercules and demigods and stuff. So I guess my thing is, if a person can be more than what they can, but if we don't know our own ability or we can never tap into our full potential, is it possible that, he wasn't in heaven when Lazarus died, so there was another realm. So wouldn't there be, is it possible that we have, we create our own destiny, kind of? We have our own?
Let me answer the first part of that. You brought up mythology and demigod stuff. It's interesting because I think a great resource for you to look at is, and now I just forgot, and it'll come to me, William Brian, he's done a book you would know, the Green Book, the big Green Book that I have in my office, the commentary.
William Barclay?
William Barclay. William Barclay, thank you. William Barclay
you're
is one guy. I'm actually thinking of someone else, though, as well. For some reason, I can't remember. But anyways, there are some theologians who claim that mythology was based in a percentage of truth. For instance, if there were demigods and gods, if you will, this goes back to Genesis 6 with even the Nephilim and all that, that there was some element of truth, whether, let's say, like Hercules or Apollos or Zeus, whether the name was changed and they were one and the same kind of person, half God, half man, that there was an element of truth there, that they were visible, that they were seen, that there was some element. And most theologians would actually... Yeah. Maybe it's the beard.
It's been Christmas. Give us a break.
But I would say, we don't create our own destiny in the sense of going to the second question when you brought up Lazarus. Now, we do have the Spirit of God as a believer in us, and so we are not God-like in that sense. We're created in God's image. We will be like Him, but we don't create our own destiny. There is definitely a destination when we think about heaven and hell, and Christ is spoken of that. Of course, He descended to the lower parts of the earth when you speak about Hades and paradise being one and the same, and then rose again, and we're told that there's a place called heaven, that it is very tangible, that we will dwell there. We will be like Christ in that. So we don't create our own destiny as a God per se, because that's when you get into, I think, in the Mormon theology and such, where you have this idea that you can obtain God, you know, likeness, if you will. But we're created uniquely in the image of God, but not in the sense of a God, if that makes sense, because we don't have the ability to create and such.
Yeah, and let me tag on that or add to that, particularly the first part. Jarrett referenced, you know, some theologians. Probably the most notable in the last century was C.S. Lewis and J.R. Tolkien. Both of these gentlemen saw the Greek mythology and any cultural mythology as just that, myths. But they likened Christianity to a true myth, that the narrative, the story, what Christianity did and said was real. It was true truth. So though there were overlapping components and similarities between ancient Greek myth and the Christian story, the Christian narrative, the difference is that Christianity is true. And Jarrett did bring up an intriguing thought that maybe, and C.S. Lewis and J.R. Tolkien both kind of proposed this idea as well, that maybe these ancient myths were light posts, indicators, signposts for that which was to come, which was found in Jesus Christ. So it was almost like God was planting seeds in different cultures with these myths, these narratives that was fulfilled and came to fruition in the Christian faith, in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, there are holes, by the way, in that mindset. And so I'm just letting you know what C.S. Lewis and J.R. Tolkien were teaching on that, component.
And, you know, I also think, Brian, of Daniel the prophet, you know, when he is praying for about 21 days there and the angel Michael comes to him. And in that scene, you have, you know, this idea of angels and demons and the dominion, and he's fighting against, you know, the prince of Persia. And so obviously the form of, you think of an angel of like being, if you were to see an angel, even John the Apostle falls down to worship him as if he's God, that can appear. We believe in that. We believe in a spiritual realm that, you know, all through time we have through scripture, of course, the belief in angels and demons, and where there are, they can manifest themselves in a visible form that we could see, like a man, if you will. And that's where I think even mythology began to arise too, when, you know, someone had an appearance of an angel or a demon for that matter, and began to describe this being. Especially you read the book of Revelation and you see, you know, John's with an angel, and then he sees another angel who's, you know, is massive, and one foot on the, you know, in the standing in the sun, and one on the earth, and is proclaiming certain things and the unfolding of the end of history, if you will, on this earth. So pretty fascinating stuff. It's very intriguing.
It is. Yeah. And you know, the second half of his question, you know, Jesus did use the mustard seed in several of his parables and several of his narrative stories. And obviously, the use of the mustard seed is because the mustard seed was so small and so seemingly insignificant, but it grew up to be these large, plants. And so the analogy or the simile that Jesus uses is that, you know, if someone had a mustard seed of faith, you know, even the small component of faith, they should be able to do great things. And also in Matthew 13 verse 31, he gives the parable of the mustard seed. And there it says, another parable Jesus put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. So the idea is that this seed, the seed of faith, or in this particular case, the kingdom, it's planted. It seems to be small and insignificant, but it will grow in significance, in influence, and in spiritual power. And that's exactly what we see with the Christian faith. You know, you look at Jesus Christ, he came, he lived, he died, he rose again. One person influencing a group of men, the disciples, which then in turn influenced a whole other group. And now Christianity is one of the most largest religions in the world, the largest faiths. And so, you know, that in of itself is a fulfilled prophecy of sorts. You know, Jesus is saying it's starting small, but it's going to grow. Now, how that related to the full potential of our faith, Jarrett already addressed that. So hopefully that answered your question. We do appreciate your call today.
Yeah.
338-3700 is the number to call if you have a question about that.
So we have two posts to Facebook. Austin says, I was reading last night Job 1:6. So Job chapter 1, verse 6. It says, one day the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And so he's wondering what that was in reference to.
Well, I think it's going back to, and I'll turn it over to Brian on this, as we were talking a little bit about angels and demons, this kind of fits the whole scene, is that as you read in Job chapter 1, that the sons of God, in reference to that, and Job makes references again the sons of God later on, I want to say around chapter 38, about being angels and the sons of God in the sense of being created again by God, anything derived of God as sons or daughters of God. And yet here you have these angels as one day they come, they present themselves before God. Also, Satan came with them. In reference to that is that they have accessibility to God. We see
that's
that.
Right.
We see that they are coming to God for if you will, permission in what is known as the permissive will of God to be able to influence or affect Job's life. And as the story unfolds for the rest of the chapters in that dialogue or narrative of Job, you see that's exactly what happens. God allows that. And so, Brian...
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you, Jared. The context of Job 1:6 clearly indicates that the reference to sons of God here are angels. Why? Just as Jared said, because they had access to God on the spiritual realm. They were with Satan, and they were presenting a case. So the sons of God here specifically indicates that they are angels. And, you know, you could cross-reference with Psalm 29:1, Psalm 103:20, where you see similar components of angels having access to God. But I believe, as Jarrett just said, the sons of God here are angels.
And, you know, it shouldn't really, you know, be too mind-boggling for us that, you know, to me, it actually shows that even Satan has access to the throne of God now. That shouldn't throw us off, because the very ministry of Jesus right now as a high priest, as we think about him in heaven now, and he makes intercession for the saints. We're told that on a daily basis for, you know, the devil, the accuser of the brethren, who stands before the throne and accuses us daily. Christ is our advocate. He's our defense lawyer. We're told about this in like 1 John. And it's interesting because we think, well, isn't Satan in hell? Where is his location? What access does he have? Well, right now, because of the very existence of the ministry of Jesus even approves or, again, confirms even Satan's position, and that Satan does, access still to the throne of God. And this is why when you read Revelation, where God says he creates a new heaven and a new earth, that he will actually scrub heaven in the sense of where he creates a new heaven because it's been tainted by the presence of
and evil. Satan and the demons and minions are cast out into utter darkness.
Absolutely.
You know, they are forever, you know, they're gone.
That's absolutely, yep.
According to Revelation.
That's right.
Yeah, hopefully that answered your question, Austin, or your text question or email question.
We got a call. This is Theology Thursday.
Yeah, dude, can I ask a question?
Yeah, go for it.
My question is, I saw the History Channel that they had told, you know, like that they were carrying some kind of instrument where they said it was the power of God or it was God's presence or something. But they were saying that, I was watching the History Channel, and all those historians on there were saying that they actually believed that it wasn't God, you know, everywhere that tool or that tomb was moved, that it always had, that it was actually, they thought it was something nuclear or it could have been from ancient aliens.
Yeah.
I was watching that ancient alien show, and all those dudes were like, yeah, that's probably aliens. So,
that's cool, man.
Yeah. Let me just say something here, and then we'll answer your question about instruments of God's presence. First of all, everything the History Channel puts out, we are not to believe as Christians, because there is lots and lots of speculation on the History Channel. A lot of it is sensationalism. They're putting things out to grasp people's attention, to, you know, to add controversy, add, you know, a different viewpoint into the mix. Though I agree with you, there's some fascinating components to it, but that's just a word of wisdom there. Don't always, just because it's on TV, and I know you're not, but I'm just saying it largely for our greater listeners. Now, when we're talking about instruments of God's presence, the Bible gives us a variety on different levels of God's presence. And God has used different instruments throughout history. You know, you could go back to Moses' staff. You know, that really kind of represents the authority, the presence of God. You know, and you could look at different things throughout history. But probably what you're referencing on the History Channel is the Ark of the Covenant. That's what I'm thinking they did it on, because you gave us some ideas that when they moved it around, there was, you know, God's presence represented there. So, Jarrett, why don't you weigh in on the Ark?
I watched that same show, and I was very intrigued. I actually thought they did a pretty good job. You know, when the History Channel tries to explain something of the supernatural, of course, and you know, they get to a point where it's unexplainable, and of course, the answer in a secular mindset is it must be alien. Alien meaning just strange or different. You know, of course, they probably thought of aliens that we think of like ET.
Extraterrestrial.
But I will say this, when it comes to the Ark of the Covenant, God's presence was manifested. Matter of fact, whenever the children of Israel walked into battle and they would make the battle cry, that Ark of the Covenant was in the center of their armies, and God, He did some amazing work with that thing. When you read, too, the way that it was held, it's pretty fascinating, even the way that the priest would have to wear certain garments. If you look at those garments, even now with our technology, you realize that it is able to handle nuclear fission and fusion, and it is protects the heart. Even the breastplate of the high priest that was able to enter into the Holy of Holies. The reason why the curtain was 18 inches thick, and again, I believe God's presence is pure energy. You have this, it is nuclear fission. I mean, it is pure creation. So obviously they would. The priest had to wear linen because of certain contamination. There was the way that they had to approach it with a stone, certain types of elements that protected, again, their chest. You look at modern instruments of handling nuclear fission, and you have the same kind of thing. Now, I will say, too, the children of Israel, believe it or not, lost the Ark a couple times in the sense that it was taken from them. One occasion is when the Philistines took it, and down in the south on where Gaza is, where we hear in the news today. And when the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant, it's fascinating because they eventually give it back for the reason that they had tumorous cancer. And they had these tumors. The story unfolds in the Bible where it had to do with mice and certain things like this, and they fashion gold instruments to give back with the Ark because they're afraid of it. They don't want to touch it. Even the enemies of God were so frightened by this box, if you will. And, you know, the Ark of the Covenant was really only a 2 foot by like about a 4 foot box by 2 foot high. So it wasn't too big. It was you know, like a crate, if you will, and it was carried with poles. You couldn't touch it. It was outlined in gold. The materials used on the inside, again, as if it contains something, pure energy. And again, it was God's presence within that ark demonstrating his Shekinah glory is what we're told in the Hebrew. But could it have nuclear properties? Absolutely. I mean, it's the hand of God. And so, again, if you look in the Bible, and I've done a lot of research on the Ark of the Covenant, even traveled with the History Channel myself personally to Ethiopia in search of the Ark of the Covenant in my own discovery of things. So I'm very fascinated with the Ark. So I will say it's intriguing, but again, it is definitely God using that in a specific time and place. Even the Ark today, wherever it could be, whether it's in Jerusalem or the Ethiopians have it, and where it's traveled is a fascinating adventure. But I think you look a little bit further beyond that and think, why did God use this instrument, and how has it, what was it mainly for? What is a type of? And we see, of course, Christ is ultimately the type of the Ark of the Covenant, the blood. To me, it was more of the throne of God. It was almost like a chair. The crate itself was more like a throne where God, his very presence, where he spoke from. So even the wings of the angels that surrounded would be like a back of a chair that would surround a person. And that's where God met with Moses face to face.
Yeah, so, and I would recommend you to obviously go to the scripture text for the full description, for the narrative of how the ark was used. And one of the earliest books that you could really see how it was constructed and used was in Exodus chapter 37. And there it tells us how Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood and how he made the mercy seat and how the gold and its length and its height and all of this and the cherubim spread out their wings above it, just as Jared described. And so the ark, which is also known as the Ark of the Testimony, is that which is described there in the book of Exodus. And obviously the ark has taken on mythical significance through movies such as Indiana Jones, through History Channel things and such of that nature. But my recommendation for anyone listening is to get back to the text, see what the Bible has to say about it, and derive your conclusions and meaning from the text itself.
That's true.
Did that help answer your question?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That kind of blew my mind, dude. Like, I'm like, man, I don't even know what to think now. It just makes me wonder, where is it, you know?
Yeah.
Lot of speculation. You know, there's different theories. I've heard everything that it's buried somewhere deep in the heart of Jerusalem. Jarrett traveled with a group that believes it's in Ethiopia. There's other people that believe it's going to be found and resuscitated during the end times. So there's a lot of ideas concerning its presence, its place, and how it will be used in the future.
Yeah, the Ark is very intriguing because it is considered among biblical archaeologists too that it would be one of the greatest archaeological finds, and because it hasn't been found. Brian already mentioned the three main views of whether in Jerusalem, whether it's still hidden until a certain time, whether it's contained right now within those building the third temple and getting ready to in Israel today currently, that will place in the temple that will be built on the Temple Mount, and then will be revealed, and there's a whole speculation with that. And then there's the one that I tend to follow more with history, and that is that it did end up in Ethiopia, and there are reasons why I believe that personally, with scripture and extra-biblical text. But and my reason primarily has to do, again, with the way Solomon, from his son going to Hezekiah and then Manasseh primarily in that time frame, and what happened even with the prophet Jeremiah ending up dying in Egypt and how it ended up in Egypt. And I could spend hours talking about this. But nonetheless, do your research. I'm glad it intrigues you enough. I hope that when someone does watch History Channel or whatever, a movie, that it would cause them, even like the movie Gods and Kings with Exodus Now, with Christian Bale or whatever, to be able to go, is this true? Where can I find this in the scripture? And it's enough interest that, you know, movies are done about it, and there's a greater interest as time moves on, like with a movie like Noah or The Passion of Christ, where we begin to see, people are taking interest. The question for us to be able to answer people around us is did these things happen, and where can we find that in scripture? Is it historical? And that's where Brian goes back to Exodus.
Yeah, and that's the beginning. But you could go to Joshua chapter 3, where you see some of the power of the ark and God's presence manifest there. There's lots of references in the Bible about the ark. But again, go to scripture to find the answers. Though the History Channel may be intriguing and fascinating, and it may elicit questions in your mind, but we've got to turn to the Bible to find the historical lineage.
Does that answer your question?
Oh, absolutely. Dude, you guys are like so smart, man. All right.
All right, dude. Thanks. Yeah, I think it's always important to remember that the History Channel has to make ratings. And they're, you know, seriously, they're trying to hit every demographic. And there's nothing, there are a few things that are more controversial than alternative views of Christianity, because it's such a prevalent religion, you know, and
right. And
we're the, like, people that believe Christianity have done horrible things, you know, in the name of God and all that. So alternative takes on it. You get all the shows about the lost gospels and stuff
right. Like
we've never heard of them before. And Paul references those in the Bible.
You know, I'm thinking of starting a show on the History Channel about the ancient alien host, his hair. You know, his hair defies every kind
of physics.
Physics. Yeah. And so when I watch Ancient Aliens on the History Channel, I look at his hair and I go, man, we should do a show just about his hair.
Yeah. It's defying gravity. It's crazy. Yeah. That product can't control it.
When you said ancient alien host, I was thinking like the human being became the host to the ancient alien.
It took me forever to catch on.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, for those who've never watched Ancient Aliens, the host of the TV show has just wild hair. It sticks up. It's just crazy. And he's really a fun host, actually.
I'll tell you what, there's no better way to get through a Saturday afternoon at home than watch it just marathon in Ancient Aliens. I love that show. Yeah, again, I'm remembering that. I mean, I don't trust that guy's hair, so I'm not going to trust what the show says. For more, you know, factual information, you can tune over to the Learning Channel and watch the special about mermaids, because those are real.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, they're getting ratings. Also, about the Ark of the Covenant, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Was it kind of like a precursor to how the Holy Spirit is with us constantly? So if we found the Ark of the Covenant, there's no real guarantee that it would be like magical and powerful and all that, because God's presence, his presence left, right?
You hit on a very controversial topic, depending on which angle you come from regarding the Ark's place in end times eschatology. You can take different angles. But I personally believe that the Holy Spirit is the seal, the mark for the Christian. And when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit indwells you, saves you. And as Paul says, the Holy Spirit seals us. So I would gravitate towards where you're coming from.
Yeah. And Matt, you know, also to answer your question, I think I'm looking for the passage in Hebrews, but it does mention actually what was contained in the Ark of the Covenant far as the manna, the testimony, the two tablets. The tablets, the Ten Commandments as we know them, and then Aaron's rod that budded. Each one of those, I've done a study on, taught on, where when you look at the Ark of the Covenant, what was contained in there is a type of Christ. Christ is the bread of life. You know, he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, the testimony. And then the bud that rotted, or the rod that budded,
yeah,
speaks of his resurrection. And, you know, almond blossoms are the first to blossom of all trees, and it blossomed, and it speaks of quick resurrection and life. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So I think even on top of the mercy seat, which is where the angels were, we're told that it's a type, it's a symbol, pattern of heaven. And so that's the throne of God. I think the Ark of the Covenant sometimes is misunderstood as just a box. I believe the mercy seat is the actual earthly representation of God's actual throne in heaven, where the angels, the four creatures that are around him, that is exactly where his presence is upon that seat. And the only way to approach that is by the blood that's applied to that mercy seat, which is by the person of Christ. Christ is a fulfillment of it all. And therefore, I think more than taking the application to us, it really applies to Christ first, of who he is, and then, of course, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Yeah. That's how it applies. Yeah.
And I recall Skip doing a great, neat narrative study when he was going through Exodus about the Ark and paralleling it to the mercy seat and everything else. So maybe our listeners could go to parchments.com, or if they're in town, they could go to, you know, Parchments and look up some stuff there. But there's some great stuff.
Another great way to expound, that happens on Wednesday nights. That's when I usually come out for Wednesday night. And it's so cool to hear Skip talk about Israel and all the stuff over there, because he's been over there so many times. You know, I've never been there, so I don't know. But it's great to hear somebody who can relate things. Because
right.
I think when you actually go over there, it's a new facet of all this stuff.
First-hand experience.
And you can actually listen to the Expound service on Static Radio Wednesday nights at, 7:30?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's when it comes on.
SkipHeitzig.com.
Yeah.
There's over 2,000 studies from Pastor Skip up there. So,
and I just say that because he knows, when it comes to like Israel and all that, he's been there so many times, he knows his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always super encouraging for me.
36 times?
36 times. Gosh.
He's been there more times than I've been alive.
Why don't you take me for once, Skip? But anyway, it's nice, you know.
Let somebody else have a turn.
It's nice that somebody that's got so much, you know, personal, like, I've seen it with mm-hmm. my eyes, and he can really walk you through. And I know, like, right now they're going through Luke, and he goes verse by verse.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really cool because he'll take, like, little moments and be like, now this is what it literally looks like, mm-hmm. and what it probably looked like then. I just think that's cool. Right. Because we lose a lot of that, you know, because we're like, we get caught up in speculation. And then that's where the whole sensationalized ancient aliens thing comes from. Because we don't know. We weren't there. None of us have seen the Ark of the Covenant. We've got the super detailed description. Daniel says he's seen it. I don't know how many drugs Daniel does. But anyway, we've got the super detailed description, and that's all we've got. You know, and then beyond that, we've got a bunch of speculation.
Right, and that's why I always tell people to turn to Scripture. Go to the text. Go to the original sources to derive your information, because speculation, a lot of guessing, will derive unless you're rooted in original text.
And speaking of speculation,
all right,
our boy Michael sent us a question a few weeks ago, and he reposted it. It was kind of over the holidays, so I missed it. I don't know if you guys have seen it. Have you seen the viral video of the lady explaining how Monster Energy drink is the mark of the beast?
No.
Okay, well, obviously we can't
You'll enjoy this.
We can't pop over and watch the video, but I kind of pulled up a transcript of what's going on. And I'll Google the Monster logo. But anyway, you've seen the Monster Energy drink logo with the M.
It's the scratched out M.
Yeah, it looks like a monster carved it in
with its claw. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm reading from a Huffington Post article about this. It says, so what's really behind the popularity of Monster Energy drink? Could it be Satan? One woman seems to think so. In a video that went viral on Facebook and YouTube recently, the unidentified woman recites a series of conspiracy theories about the drink. Specifically, the notion that the M is in the Monster logo is really made up of a Hebrew 6 repeated 3 times, which would be 666. You see, and this is her quote. You see these M's everywhere, hats, T-shirts, bumper stickers. Is there another agenda here, the woman asks? If God can use people and products, so can Satan. Still have doubts. She has more clues, such as claiming the line through the O in Monster is really a part of a cross, which represents the Antichrist. She says that when someone drinks from a can and tilts it upside down, the reverse cross represents witchcraft. Bottoms up and the devil laughs, she says. Something to think about. She also points to the Unleash the Beast motto on each can, as well as the company's supposed use of implied profanity in its marketing. Many of her complaints about the drink have actually circulated online before. Some users on Snopes message board reporting a similar message circulating on Facebook in 2009. However, none of them have gained the popularity of this viral video. As of when this article was posted, which was probably a month or so ago, it had like 8 million views and 1.5 million views in less than 24 hours. Monster hasn't responded yet. But some people have pointed out that the so-called number of the beast is not 3 sixes, but it's actually 666, as in 666, which would be, it would not be represented in Hebrew by a 6 repeated 3 times. I don't know. There's tons of this stuff.
Let me give a big picture, and then I'm going to turn to Scripture, which we're encouraging people to do. Big picture. There are lots of conspiracy theories. There are lots of opinions. There are lots of things people see in situations, in circumstances, and in things. You could see Jesus on a tortilla chip. You could see Jesus on burnt toast. You could see Jesus in a lot of different places. Likewise, you could find the mark of the beast in a lot of things. But what we find in Scripture is that the mark of the beast is not found on the monster drink. What Revelation 13 tells us, beginning in verse 1, John, who wrote the book of Revelation, describes the beast that is coming from the sea. And you find that in chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. And then John, in verses 11 through 18, describes a beast that comes from the earth. So chapter 13, a beast that comes from the sea, and then a beast that comes from the earth. At the end of John's description of the beast that comes from the earth, in verse 18, he gives the number of the beast. And this is what it says. Here is wisdom. Let him who understands and calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. And let's say that throughout history, that number 666 has been reformulated, has been applied to everything from Ronald Reagan to the Pope, and people have tried to come to terms with what that number 666 means. Most people have been wrong, but there are real, I think, good indicators that of what 666 you know, really means. And Jarrett is going to talk a little bit about
that. Yeah, you know, I would say, first of all, you know, so you see a video like that, and right away we may laugh at that. But, you know, there's a lot of design and art that it doesn't surprise me that someone would put the 666 or, you know, within artwork like that in something that's very extreme or whatever. We see that in other, you know, there's a, you know, proclamation of Disney putting that within the way that the swirls are in Disney and 666 and all that. And you could have that within an artist's conception, and that's fine. It doesn't mean anything, actually. Matter of fact, what Brian just mentioned here in Revelation 13 is timing. The identification of who the beast is hasn't even been yet revealed until, as we believe, according to Scripture, till the church is taken out. And then, therefore, the rapture begins, or the tribulation happens, and then the beast is identified, and then the number is given in a certain time, in a certain place, for certain things, to receive food and to be able to do economy and banking and such. So that it hasn't even been revealed, if you will, at that point. Where it indicates to us, and I would differ and say that it does tell us what the mark of the beast actually is. It tells us in Revelation 13, it says that those who are great and those who are rich, poor, free, will receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark, number one, number two, or the name of the beast, or number three, the number of his name. Then it says, here is wisdom. Let him who understands and calculate the number, I'm repeating what Brian said, of the beast, for it is the number of a man. It's a man.
Right.
And then it says, his number. His number. The man's number is 666. Where obviously, you know, the beast is a symbol of this man. We need to understand that it can manifest itself in three ways, I believe here, as a mark, as a name, or the number itself, and to buy or sell. This hasn't even been put into action yet, if you will, because if you follow the book of Revelation according to the timeline, it hasn't happened yet. Now, will we see the fingerprint of the devil in this world? Absolutely. He's the prince of this air. Will we see it in artwork and different manifestations in the world system? Absolutely. It hasn't been enacted yet. So whether you see this on a, you know, on a piece of toast, or you see it on a monster drink, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't matter. Matter of fact, even speaking of Skip last night, one of the ideas of Christ eating without washing his hands and was a ceremonial issue was one of the things that he had stated was the reason for that is they believe that a demon would actually, because you didn't wash your hands ceremonially, would attach itself to your hand overnight. And then if you ate something, you would ingest that demon into you, much like this monster drink, which is seems like, to, I haven't watched the video yet, but like you're ingesting a demon into you. You can't physically in that way receive a demon. According to demon possession, it's a spiritual thing with the personality of a person that we read about in Mark chapter 6. Going back to Brian, I would leave it at that point.
Yeah,
but
Jarrett, I think you make a very valuable point that I think our listeners need to grasp, is the text, the actual book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 18, indicates that it's a number of a man. So throughout history, people have used what's called gematria, which is a way to calculate numbers, you know, and correspond them to a person. They've associated these numbers with Nero. They've associated, you know, the numbers with Muhammad. They've associated these numbers with a whole host of people. But what the text seems to clearly indicate, it's the number of man. And so for me, I think the easiest correspondence to relate this number to a particular man would be someone connected to the Antichrist. Who, what, where, and why the Antichrist is up for speculation and discussion. But if we're going to talk about a number of a man that corresponds or flows from a particular person, you would have to say that the Antichrist, whoever he is and wherever he will come from, will somehow use this number as what Jarrett said, some sort of, you know, I almost want to say branding, like almost like cattle.
Yeah, you know, to me, now, if your kids drink Monster, they may act like little demons in the, because of the sugar, nice. And that may be one thing.
Nice.
But, and again, not to make fun of it, because, you know, on the other hand, too, you know, you look at this and you go, how does that relate to Scripture? And I would already disagree with the lady. I don't believe, again, it's a can, but it's a man. The number of the beast is associated with buying and selling. There's a specific purpose for it. You have to willingly know what you're doing to even receive the mark. It's not a credit card. It's not any of that kind of stuff.
You're not going to stumble into
it. It even says, exactly, it'll be on your right hand or your forehead. It'll be an identification to you specifically to buy or sell. And the way, now, do we see around us the world ramping up for this? Absolutely. Are we surprised to see, again, the fingerprint of this starting to happen? No, we're not surprised. We see it with retina scanning. We see it with, you know, when it comes to our phones and GPS and all these things around us of tracking and all this, that there's a reason for all of that as it comes together. So,
and let me just give a word of caution to our listeners as well. As you've already picked up from this conversation, there's lots of speculation. And so you have to be careful when you get online or you watch some news brief or you even buy a book where a lot of people, they use the newspaper to interpret Scripture rather than letting Scripture interpret events.
Mm-hmm.
Our challenge and encouragement to our listeners is go to Scripture, go to the Bible. That's why we bend over backwards to give you text to say, hey, look this up in the Bible and then do fair research of listening to good Bible teachers or getting great commentators that will give you a balanced view on the subject, because anyone could turn anything in Scripture into anything they want.
It's true. And there's nothing like sensationalism we were talking about a while ago. There's probably nothing more sensational in Christianity than the end times.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we know that because it's basically an industry here in the West.
Right.
Like, it's crazy. We got a Left Behind movie with Nicolas Cage.
Yep.
Out of nowhere. You know, so, and it didn't make any money, but I mean, it's a huge industry.
Right.
So it's so easy for people to just kind of, you know, pick up on this and then go and get attention and then maybe even make some money off of it if they're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I don't know. Anytime, I guess growing up Southern Baptist, all I ever heard about was end times.
Right.
And so it's partly my fault on this, but anytime I start hearing stuff about that, I just glaze over. I'm like, good grief.
Yeah,
you know,
and because what Christians don't realize, particularly if you grew up in a particular viewpoint, is that there are other eschatological views of the end times. Let's use this mark of the beast. You know what we would call a preterist view, which they believe a lot of Revelation was fulfilled in the early church. They easily correspond the 666 and or the Antichrist to activities in the early church. And a lot of them will point to Nero and others. And then you have a more broad view of what we would call post-millennial eschatology. And they may correspond the 666 to a religious figure who was anti-Christian or something of that nature. So there are varying views. But my challenge for anyone is to go to the text, read the text, earnestly study, earnestly pray, Lord, give me insight into this, and make sure you're balanced in your approach. Because, you know, just you and the text a lot of times could lead to trouble. So you want to hear what other great Bible teachers and people say about it before you jump to any hard conclusions.
It's very true. I mean, even in like Europe and stuff, there's such a big, I don't know, there is a gulf of ocean between us geographically and in many thoughts concerning end times. You could say there's an oceanic gulf between the way people think here in America and even Western churches over in Europe and stuff like that. And then you get into Eastern Orthodox stuff and they I don't even know what they think, but there's tons of different views on it. So I appreciate what you're saying, Brian, when you don't want to go with the most sensational version, because if I hear that, to me, you're selling me something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably just me being a jaded jerk. But anyway, like, I glaze over, you know. It's great to get, well, not everybody thinks that's exactly what's going to go down. And that's what we try to give you guys here on Theology Thursday, because, I mean, if you're like me, I grew up thinking there was only one way everybody thought about it. And then as soon as I got out and started going on tour, I was like, wait a second.
Yeah. Now, with that said, there are better explanations than others.
Absolutely.
And so not that we always have to be wishy-washy about a particular doctrinal point or a particular biblical teaching, but what we don't want to be is so dogmatic that we beat another person over the head and cause division and problems that we have to go, I see your point. I don't agree with your point on this particular issue. I have great reasons to believe this particular viewpoint, but I'm not going to, you know, put on boxing gloves and give you a bloody nose because I, you know, happen to disagree with you on a non-essential. Now, essentials of the Christian faith, those components that have been taught with clarity for 2,000 years in church, we do need to draw a line in the sand. We have to say, I will not cross this line, such as the divinity of Christ, such as the Trinity, such as Christ's physical Second Coming. These components where the church has always taught this, and the Bible supports this and you know, teaches it with distinct clarity. We want to be clear in those essentials. But in non-essentials, it's great to let iron sharpen iron, but not to get into blood baths over it.
Right. Totally true. Now, we got two questions. The one that I think, one of these questions from our boy Creepy Caleb, that could probably take an entire show to cover.
So, okay.
We obviously don't have enough
time.
We
surely don't.
But we've got one question, and unfortunately, they sent us a link to a meme on Facebook that I can't pull up. I'm guessing because the person probably has a private profile, so I can't just go look at all their stuff.
Right.
We can read the question. It's got to do with marijuana. Hey, guys, I love listening to all the shows you put on, especially when you dive into discussion topics. I get more out of listening to Shock Therapy Live and Theology Thursday than I do with some sermons. I've been in a long discussion debate with a friend about pot. He seems to be on a personal crusade to convince people to legalize it and that God says it's great. He posted a meme a few days ago, which I have ignored like all the rest because I know that there's not much point in debating him. However, my wife decided to comment, so after some back and forth between them, I joined in. The conversation is at the link below. If you can't see it because of privacy settings, I've attached a screenshot of where it is currently. Wait, maybe I can see that.
Wow.
Here we go.
This is a huge topic and a lot of debate.
Wow.
But keep going.
All right, I'm trying to look at it. I have to zoom
in. While you're trying to get it, let me say here that pot is only legal in two states. A neighboring state of ours, Colorado, and then of course Oregon. Therefore, for the vast majority of people, other than for medicinal purposes prescribed by your doctor, Christians should not be engaged in the smoking of marijuana simply because the law of the land says we shouldn't be doing it. And as Christians, we want to the best of our ability, be a good witness and abide by the laws as long as those laws are not in contradiction to Scripture. So I would say the vast majority of Scriptures in 48 states should not be jumping on a bandwagon of smoking pot. Now, the larger question is, what do we do with Christians in Colorado and in Oregon? My thought in that area will take us in a different direction, but I think you found what you were looking for on the internet.
Okay. We found the picture. Thank you, DJ Bossman.
He starts by saying, and God saw that it was good, which is a loose quote from the creation account. And Matt, would you like to read it?
Yeah, and then there's a picture.
I don't want to be struck.
Oh, good. Thanks for putting it off on me.
It's all right, buddy.
I'll take it. All right, the Lord will strike me down. There's a picture of a bunch of marijuana growing on a grassy knoll or something, and it says, God, still the most prolific marijuana grower of all time. So there it is.
Well, let me say here, on this line of reasoning of this internet site that you gave, is obviously the Lord, in his creative act, did allow the creation or himself create marijuana. Mm-hmm. So the question you have to go back is to say, well, why did God do it? Was it for man's consumption? A. Or B, if it wasn't for man's consumption, what was it for? Was it just for beauty? Was it for a natural habitat? Was it for the animals and so on and so forth? Let's just go off the line of reasoning that these guys have put forth, that God created marijuana for man's use. If that's the case, then you have to go to the next step in this logical argument. Was it for man's use for daily use, or did it have medicinal purposes? I would say, based upon this line of reasoning that they're trying to put forth, is that if God was wanting to use it for mankind, it would have to be for medicinal purposes, for healing, for the use of medicine, what we would say post-fall of man. We don't have any clear indications in Scripture that this is the case. However, we do have pictures in Scripture of different people using herbs, not necessarily marijuana, but using herbs. In Genesis, we get an account of using herbs to try to get the women pregnant. And so there was the use of herbs for medicinal purposes, good or for ill. So does marijuana fall in this category? It may. But what we don't have anything is clear-cut scripture references that God made marijuana for medicinal purposes. What we do find, particularly in the New Testament, is that drugs, and I'll just say it as that, or herbs or whatever, used for religious purposes was prohibited. So where you draw the line is an interesting line, because on one hand, these drugs do have medicinal value. Doctors have shown that marijuana can relieve pain. It can relieve anxiety. It helps with some forms of mental instability. So there is medicinal effects to it. However, when it's used for religious purposes, Paul and others clearly equates it with witchcraft. Pharmakia, the use of drugs to alter one's state to bring them to a religious, pinnacle, if you will, a religious experience. And Paul is basically saying, we don't need to do that. So really, it's a lot more complicated than putting up a little picture on the website and saying God created, therefore use it. I think we have to ask, if God did create it for man's consumption and use, in what form? And the forms that I see it are either medicinal or non-medicinal. And it would seem to me if God created it for man's use, it would seem to me that it would have more of a medicinal value rather than a daily use value and or a religious value, because, again, Paul is emphatic that we're not to use pharmakia for religious purposes.
Well, and let's not forget, too, that there's non-smoking uses for this plant. My shoes are made out of hemp.
That's exactly right.
It's true.
That's exactly right. And like so many other natural substances, it can be used in a lot of different ways. And so that goes back to that question I pose. If it's used for man's, was created for man's use, how then are we to use it? What is the proper way? Biblically, we would have to say it shouldn't be used for, religious purposes. That's clear. Then you would have to say, well, could it be used for clothing? Well, yeah, it seems that it could be used for clothing. Could it be used for medicinal purposes? Yeah, maybe it could, because Paul elsewhere says so with wine. Paul says wine is good for the stomach. So doctors today will tell you that wine on certain levels does help with, certain areas.
Yeah.
So there is medicinal value to natural substances, and wine, of course, is from the grape. But I wouldn't follow the logic of that website, hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, and this thing runs the gamut as far as it goes as the argument. I mean, I've been reading through, and he totally provided us a picture of all the comments that are going, and I'm sure this thing is still rocking. But anyway, they go to the whole versus alcohol thing, and then they kind of cover and there's so many other uses and da da da.
Right.
I think what it really, really, really boils down to is if somebody wants to smoke it, they're going to find a way to smoke it.
Right.
And right now, since it's a big legal issue, that's just the newest way to
do it. Right. And I think for Christians, we need to go back to text, go back to the scripture text. Clearly, Paul and John in Revelation makes a clear delineation that drugs are not to be used for religious purposes. And, well, I don't go smoke it for religious purposes, as someone say. I do it for social reasons. However, what does it lead to? And I hate to use this terminology because it's controversial, but gateway drugs. So you really have to be mindful of this stuff when you're dealing with these very hot and sensitive topics.
It's true. Well, I feel like that was a good Theology Thursday.
It's a good Theology Thursday.
Great Theology Thursday. Great questions.
Thanks, Nick.
I wish Jarrett wouldn't have just dipped out on me.
Jarrett had a meeting he had to get to.
He needs to get his priorities in line.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you guys for all your comments, all your questions, feedback. It was very, very helpful. Tomorrow we'll be back with a Friday show. Sam Swan, I think, is coming in. I need to get in touch with him and figure that out, but it'll be
it's
me.
Probably
and,
a good idea.
Me and you, yeah. Good buddy, DJ yeah. Bossman Dan. Do you have a good day?
It was a good day.
We learned a lot.
We did.
We learned
Question
so
of the
much.
Day is going to keep going, too.
Yeah, we're
going to
update it because none of you people are participating. It's making me upset. So we're going to make it a little more personal. And we'll see if anybody catches on.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow.
We'll be back.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.